You're having a lot of fun with this, you know.
Well, it's good to be on a show where you can actually talk about it.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Lou Belliano. She was the sunny, raspy-voiced, perfect wife of James Stewart, Van Johnson, and other movie heroes. June Allison has died. Her daughter Pamela Allison Powell made the announcement today. Her mother was 88. MGM signed her to a contract, and she appeared in small roles in Thousands Cheer and Girl Crazy. And Two Girls and a Sailor, her winsome beauty and bright personality connected with U.S. servicemen. Allison died Saturday at her home in Ojai, California, with her husband of nearly 30 years, David Ashro, at her side. Another reason to stock up on fish, or at least fish oil, prevention of age-related macular degeneration. CBS News national correspondent Dan Revive has the details and joins us live from Washington.
Dan. Lou, almost one out of three people over age 75 find their eyes getting seriously worse. About 7% go blind. But in the archives of ophthalmology, evidence that your habits, bad or good, can affect your risk. Boston-based researcher Johanna Seddon.
Cigarette smoking increases the risk by almost twofold, and also a behavior that can decrease the risk, and that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids.
That's the good fat found in fish such as salmon. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
A court ruling today on that FBI search of a congressional office. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss says it was not a violation of the separation of powers.
China has not...
House Republican leaders were so angry about this unprecedented search of a congressman's office that President Bush intervened to minimize the political damage, putting everything obtained in the search under seal for 45 days for the Department of Justice and leaders of Congress to work out a compromise. That hasn't happened. The 45 days, though, is over, and now the judge in the case says the prosecutors can use what they found.
A divorce dispute and attempted suicide may have fueled the explosion that leveled a four-story building and hurt 15 people in New York City this morning. A police investigator says the building's owner emailed his wife that she'd go from gold digger to ash and rubble digger. The husband used his cell phone to tell rescuers where in the rubble he was. A bartender at a Lakeside, Wisconsin supper club says he thought half the town blew up. Authorities think a propane gas leak touched off an explosion that killed two people and splintered several buildings in a Door County resort town. Several people were hurt. The Chinese are heading to North Korea to work their own form of diplomacy. Why the U.N. Security Council is not voting on a biting resolution calling for sanctions against the North. CBS News foreign affairs consultant Pamela Falk.
China has not vetoed a resolution in the past 6 years, and that is what the administration was banking on when they said they had the votes.
The word is the Chinese are already peddling a softer version of that tougher resolution. At the closing bell, the Dow was up over six. This is CBS News.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service that big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
The following is a message from Pfizer.
Dr. Drew Pinsky here on a subject most guys would rather ignore, erectile dysfunction. Believe it or not, nearly half of all guys over 40, and some even younger, have ED. If your sex life leaves something to be desired, even part of the time, do something about it. To learn more about ED and how to treat it, talk to your doctor or visit justasktoday.com. Do it for you and your partner.
Just can't beat it. Rome and a party. CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco says when it's the winners of the World Cup, it's really the tops.
Hundreds of thousands of Italians greeted the national soccer team who arrived victorious from Germany. After landing at a military airport, the team met with the Italian Prime Minister and then was driven on an open-air bus along the streets of Rome. The crowds were enthusiastic. music. It was like a triumphant march through the Italian capital. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
The Federal Reserve says Americans used their credit cards more but took out fewer car loans last month. Overall, the monthly tally of borrowing was up by less than 2.5% in May, significantly slower than in April. Keith Richards has confirmed that he'll be in the third installment of the Pirates of the Caribbean. He tells reporters in Italy that he'll be filming for a week or so in September. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
The Town and Country Democratic Club has supported democratic values for over 40 years. That's a lot of persistence and dedication. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, is a proud sponsor of the Town and Country Democratic Club's 12th Annual Awards Dinner, Wednesday, July 26th at 6 p.m. at the Escaton Village Ballroom, 3939 Walnut Avenue in Carmichael. Join fellow Democrats for an evening featuring keynote speaker Bill Lockyer, California Attorney General and candidate for state treasurer. Joan Lee, a relentless fighter for health care and senior issues, will receive the Robert Batsui Award for Public Service. Kevin Murphy will be honored with the Great Grassroots Award for his tireless contributions to Democratic causes. Join AM 1320 at the Town and Country Democratic Club's 12th Annual Awards Dinner, Wednesday, July 26th, featuring keynote speaker Bill Lockyer. Tickets are $50 per person for an inspirational and fun night of political dialogue from the left. Call 332-5980 or visit tnconline.org.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And we have lots of things coming up. I want to let you know that we stream live 1320leftchannel.com. And we will be joined by Bill Maher. I think we have him. And also Jeffrey Nunberg. We're going to be talking about why Democrats can't, you know, why Democrats have been turned into Volvo driving, latte drinking wusses. But joining us now on the line is Bill Maher. Bill Maher, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for the plug.
You and I met in Denver. I introduced you to a sold-out and riotously enthusiastic audience. And you and I share a great friend in the late, great Jerry Nachman.
Yes.
Whom we all miss dearly. You're going to be in Sacramento.
Yep.
Sunday, July 23rd, 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. We actually are going to be giving away some tickets today. And what are you going to be doing?
I hope I can win one.
Well, is that the only
show? I hear it's fantastic.
The only way to get you there?
I hear he really brings it.
I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I have to ask you this question because I'm curious about it. First of all, could you explain your relationship with Ann Coulter, whom we're calling Coultergeist around here?
Right. That's a common question I get. Well,
a word weaponizer, the comma word weaponizer, Ann Coulter.
Yeah. Well, you know, first of all, I haven't really talked to her in quite a while. I mean, I would not say that we're not friends anymore, because sometimes you just lose contact with somebody. But it's been a couple of years since we've gone out. I would love to actually catch up with her, because I would love to know what's going on in that little head of hers. Because she was always not just far right, but far crazy. But, you know, that was okay. I'll tell you what I liked about her. One is that when we have been friends, and for those who think there's something else going on there, I assure you I would never have sex with a Republican. But for all the times we used to be friends and go out at night, but especially when she lived in New York for years, and when I would visit New York, she was part of a gang that I went out with. I have to tell you, everybody who was around her liked her, because, like with me, we didn't talk politics. You know, she and I just do not talk politics. There would be no point. We know where the other guy stands. But we both are very knowledgeable about Washington inside matters. So we had a lot of fun, girly-type dishing and gossip. And she's just a fun person to go out with. I know people hate to hear that, but she truly is. She's bright and she's funny, as long as you don't talk about anything important, in which case you want to put a knife through her head. Lately, I don't know what's gone on with her. You know, I always admired her because she was someone who was unafraid to say things which would get yourself booed. And in that, I compared myself to her, because there's too little of that in America. People usually cow from any sort of criticism. Anytime somebody gets their feathers rustled, there's an immediate demand for an apology, and then people just, you know, like you were just saying about the Democrats, wusses. Well, she's not a wuss, but there comes a point where you just don't even know what she's talking about.
Well, it's interesting because there's a line there between being really candid and unconcerned about the results and then just manipulating the language to sell a book.
Yes, that's a good point as well.
And I would like to ask you how you made the transition from acting, and you went to school at Cornell. You have a Jewish mother, which may explain a lot, or maybe nothing at all. Your dad wasn't Jewish. He was Catholic and a news guy, as I understand it.
Yes, and I was raised Catholic, which explains even more.
Oh, really? Even though you are considered Jewish if you have a Jewish mother.
Well, you know, as someone who absolutely hates all religion, I hate it when people say, you are this or you are that. I am nothing. You know, I don't believe in religion. I think religion is a great block to spirituality, and I really don't like it when people confuse religion with spirituality. To me, it's a bureaucracy between man and whatever is out there, and I talk about this a lot in my act. You know, the fact that my mother is Jewish, which obviously is much less of a fear-based religion than Catholicism.
But it's a guilt-based religion.
What's this?
It's a guilt-based religion.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
And that's why many Jewish women are wearing the color guilt.
Right.
Yes, they shimmer and they shine. You've been quoted as calling religion a neurological disorder.
Yes,
that stops people from thinking.
A neurological disorder. That's absolutely true. When somebody like you know, a good religion to study would be Scientology because it's a new religion. And when Tom Cruise or whoever is a Scientologist, if they ever would talk about what their beliefs are, because we know what Scientology preaches, that aliens invaded the Earth 75 million years ago, aliens from the planet Xenu, and are now infesting our souls. Now, if you believe this as unimpeachable truth, I'm sorry, that's a neurological disorder, because where are they getting this information? They're getting it from their behind. I don't know where they're getting it from.
Well, they're getting it from L. Ron Hubbard, who is behind.
Right, but he was a science fiction writer.
That's right.
Decided, well, this would be better as religion.
And more profitable, and far more remunerative.
Right.
Have you noticed that there are no real intellectuals who have signed on to the Scientology movement? I mean, you know, Priscilla Presley, Lisa Marie, Tom Cruise.
Jenna Elfman, an intellectual? She played Dharma, hello.
How did you make the transition from being in some early and fairly cheesy movies to being...
I did not start out as an actor. I started out as a stand-up comedian, and that's the thread that I think runs through everything, is that I've never stopped doing stand-up comedy, and I'm really glad I never did. Now, did I do acting? Yes, absolutely, because when I started back in, like, 1980, we were all young comedians in New York, and we all wanted to get on a sitcom. That was the template of success. We had to follow that... you know, Robin Williams had done it, and, you know, we saw that this is how you do it. So we all, Jerry Seinfeld was on Benson for a memorable 7 episodes in 1980. So that's what we all wanted to do. We all moved out here after we started to do The Tonight Show, and that was the next step. And, yeah, I did do that for a while, and I was in some cheesy movies. But, you know, I think your career winds up the way it's supposed to. It takes a little while for it to come out in the wash. But I'm sure glad I'm not doing that anymore, because I never really got used to having to sit there for 14-hour days with the makeup caking on your face. And basically, you know, an actor is pretending not to be himself, whereas my whole career has been about really trying to be the most myself and be the most honest I can with the audience. I feel that that's the bond with the audience, is that they would say, well, agree with this guy or not agree with this guy. We do think he's telling us the truth as he sees it.
My guest is Bill Maher, if you're just joining us. He's going to be in Sacramento Sunday, July 23rd, 8 o'clock, at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. Bill, you have been a beacon for a lot of people, particularly in the dark times when the press was acting more like stenographers and cheerleaders in this administration.
Right.
So people were hanging on your every word. They were just thrilled that you were able to, you know, one of the things we talked about here is the one thing that the Republicans have been competent in is spinning, so that if the Democrats talk about withdrawal from Iraq, they call it cut and run. And the Democrats don't have the language or have not been able to develop the language or the spin to counter it. And here you were somebody who could do it, and you could do it bravely. You did it with a lot of humor. You took a big hit after 9/11 at the arms of some ridiculous talk host in Texas who used you as, right, as some way to advance his own career.
Right.
So talk to me about this administration. Talk to me about what you see going on and what you see happening. If you're looking into the tea leaves, what you see happening?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head when you say the Democrats, their big flaw is that they are unable to make the counter argument. They cower in fear. Every time the Republicans go after one of the issues that should be a good issue for them, like the environment. You know, the Al Gore has this wonderful movie out, and he's talking about the environment and how bad global warming is. But from the people I know who've seen this movie, they say it's very short on actually suggesting a solution or suggesting that Americans might need to sacrifice in some way to defeat this problem. I don't have to remind you that in the 2000 election, when Al Gore was running for president, he didn't really bring up the issue of the environment. Now, there's a good example, of, as I'm saying, of the Democrats cowering from making the counter-argument. Yes, the Republicans have gotten away with rolling their eyes for years whenever someone mentions the environment, as if it's Smurf Forest we're talking about instead of planet Earth, the only place where we can actually live. So what the Democrats have to do is find a way to say, you know what, this is not, as you were saying before I got on, about, you know, we're latte-sipping, Volvo-driving elitists. Are you kidding? Breathing the air is not an elitist thing. Make the environment an issue about your survival, about being totally selfish, and maybe you'll get some people to vote, but you have to explain it to them.
How about answering the question that Helen Thomas keeps asking? She says, where is the outrage? Why is there no outrage? Are we beyond outrage? It's too much effort. We're so disengaged that there's too much effort to be outraged. Every time the next terrible thing is revealed, you think, this is it. This is the tipping point has been reached. But there never seems to be a tipping point, except that Bush's, and I call him Dickie, George W. Dickie Bush, and that way I can say there are two dicks running the White House. So Dickie, you know, his approval ratings are not so hot, but that's about all that happens.
Right. Well, I called it, I can't say the word on this show, but I'll...
Yeah, you better. That'll be $325,000 per word, please.
Yeah, you know, I want to give you that. But I call it screw-up fatigue. When someone screws up so many times, then the next time they screw up, people go, oh, well, what do you expect? He's a screw-up.
Yeah, but you know, it's even beyond screw-up. You know, there, for a long time, I thought it was incompetent, that they were just incompetent. And now I think they're complicit. And passively complicit, at least in the terms of 9/11, when, you know, determined to strike on American soil, PDB, you would think, you know what, maybe I could cut my vacation short a little bit. But maybe more actively complicit in the stupidity of what they have imposed on the rest of us. And that, we seem to be laying back and saying, okay, well, that's all right. More stupidity, please.
Well, I think they just don't care. The Republicans, this crowd of Republicans anyway, they don't care about governing. After all, they do run on the idea that government is inefficient. And then they prove it by governing that way.
Well, they can't wait to get the government job for this thing that they say is irrelevant, meaningless, and the thing that they say they want to starve.
Well, here's an example. Does anyone doubt that if Bill Clinton, evil man that he was because he had sex when he was in the Oval Office, does anybody doubt that if, when he was president, if Katrina had hit, that he would have been at least down there? He would have not slept for 5 days. That's the kind of guy he was. Yes, he might have been getting a little strange on the side, but that's who he was. He was a multitasker. That's better than this guy who's not even a unitasker.
My guest is Bill Maher, who will be in Sacramento Sunday, July 23rd. What do you see happening with the NSA, the wiretapping? Somebody made the observation about, for example, well, you live in California, so the voting, the e-voting issue, everybody says that, or we had Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on late last week, and he wrote a wonderful piece in Rolling Stone called "Was the 2004 Election Stolen?"
Yeah, I read it.
I think we all know what the answer to that is. And all these reports now coming out about e-voting that tell us that Game Boys have better security than our voting machines.
Right.
So we can't even trust the process.
I couldn't agree more. You know, when people talk about the fact that we are losing our democracy, I used to sort of chalk that up to conspiracy theories, I would say no, no, no. But you know what? Between the gerrymandering, which really amounts to the politicians picking the voters instead of the voters picking the politicians, between that and lobbyists literally writing the laws and the stolen elections and the negative attack ads, which can fool anybody into thinking anything, I really don't know how much democracy we have left. I know this. I know when Bush tries to lecture another foreign leader about democracy, I kind of laugh. He tried it with the Iranian guy, and the Iranian guy wrote him a letter that basically said, look, I'm a religious nut, you're a religious nut. Couldn't we just start with that? He tried it with Vladimir Putin, and Putin looked at him with that Vulcan mind meld gaze. It's like, you know what, stolen election boy, let's just not go there.
Well, you have any comments to make about Rush Limbaugh being busted with that load of Viagra that was written in somebody else, the prescription written in somebody else's name? I was thinking, I passed by the TV set one day, and I heard one of these ads for Viagra, and it sounded to me like people were suffering from reptile dysfunction.
Yes.
Which must mean that none of their snakes are working properly.
Yes.
So, here's Rush Limbaugh, a smoker of big cigars. But any observation you want to make about that?
Well, first of all, I have not a hell of a lot of sympathy for Rush Limbaugh, despite the fact that he was one of the conservatives who defended me when I got in trouble after 9/11. But, I don't think any American should be busted. First of all, I think if you want to have a pill to make your erection better, then it shouldn't even be a prescription. That's a much bigger conspiracy. Why should that be a prescription drug? Why should there be all these prescription drugs? Because doctors get more money when you go to the office and make them write a little note. And certainly nobody should be busted for having Viagra that's in somebody else's name or nobody's name or any of that. So I'm not going to pile on there. But the fact that he was for years preaching on his show that any drug user, anybody who gets high, should go to jail. No questions asked, directly to jail.
Right, right.
And then winds up, it was reported that he was doing 30 OxyContin a day. Do you have any idea how high 30 OxyContin a day? One OxyContin is higher than I've ever been in my life, and I've been high a lot.
Well, he did it to the point where he lost his hearing. I mean, what kind of pain was he in for that to happen?
Well, I mean, the essential hypocrisy that if you call something a drug, you go to jail, but if you call it, as Rush Limbaugh's people did, medication, oh, okay, then it's medication. Patrick Kennedy slammed into the barrier in front of the Capitol at 3 in the morning because he thought he had to go to work. He woke up at 3 in the morning and thought he had to go to work, but that's all forgiven because he was on Ambien, and once again, Ambien is a prescription drug, and the pharmaceutical industry has a lobby in Washington, so it's all good. As long as your name is on a little bottle, that drug is okay. So it's really not what the drug is, it's what the lobby is.
A government of, by, and for special interests. Bill Maher, thank you so much. Hey, do you have a name for this tour that you are doing?
Well,
or this engagement?
Tour is a pretty fancy word. I go out for 2-3 days at a time. You know, I'm not exactly the Rolling Stones.
Well, some of us you are.
I just got home from Atlanta and Nashville and Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm thinking of calling it the Red State Love Tour because I get a lot of love in the Red States. You know, there's a lot of blue people in Red States. And, boy, when I come to their town, it is a nice rallying point for everybody to come and hear a point of view that they don't normally hear at the Piggly Wiggly.
And I'm sure that they are thrilled to have you. You're always wonderful. I love your work.
Well, thank you.
And I want to encourage people, and we're helping in that effort by giving away some tickets. I think we might be a sponsor of the event. But Bill Maher will be in Sacramento Sunday, July 23rd, 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Okay. I'll talk to you again soon.
I hope so.
Okay. Bye.
I'm Ina Goldstein, and you are listening to the... we have a new system here. Your Klutzy goddess is trying to master it. You have been listening. That was Bill Maher, isn't he? Well, he's pretty wonderful, isn't he? You've been listening to the Monday edition. Normally the biggest heart attack day in the week, but maybe today we're starting out with a little bit of a heart throb. Anyway, a comedic heart throb. And we have more as we continue. We'll have a guest in the 4 o'clock hour, and I'll tell you more about that. And you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Muñez.
The roads aren't looking too bad out there, Enid. We got southbound 99, slow traffic at Florin Road, a collision at Cardwell Avenue at Oak Avenue. It's 86 degrees out there, Sacramento. You can look for weather later this week in the upper 80s to lower 90s. I'm Antonio Muñez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
We may not have solved America's problems yet, but we're working on it. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's your right to listen to the left.
You win.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Are you breathing? 3:28 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Remember, we stream live. It's a live stream here. You can find us at 1320leftchannel.com. And if you click on my show and my kind of my webpage will come up and you get the George W. Dickey Bush resume and a list of the upcoming guests, and I can certainly share that with you today. We are going to be joined in the next hour by Jeffrey Nunberg. If you're just tuning in, you have missed Bill Maher, but he will be in Sacramento, and it's always worth your while to hear him perform. He's quite good, and I think it's very pointed. So that despite his friendship with Ann Coulter, but Jeffrey Nunberg will be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. If all goes well, he's written a book called "Talking Right: How Conservatives Turned Liberalism into a Tax Raising, Latte Drinking, Sushi Eating, Volvo Driving, New York Times Reading, Body Piercing, Hollywood Loving Left Wing Freak Show." So that is coming up. I think what he's going to be talking about, and this is my assumption, is how the Republicans have controlled the muscularity of the language so that the Democrats look like wussmobiles. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Robert Halenga. he's written some books that I have loved, among them The Fall of a Sparrow, The 16 Pleasures, and he's got a new one called Philosophy Made Simple. He's a novelist. Wednesday, authors Michael and Jane Stern, Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food, and they will be with us. So that's what's coming up on Enid Live. I want to give you the numbers. If you are in the 916 area code, it's always toll-free, 349-1320. If you're not in the area code, 866-626-1320, and you can email me, enid@kctc.com. Okay. I think a lot of you will not know who this person is, but I will tell you anyway. I remember going to – I used to do commentary at Channel 2 in the Bay Area, KTVU-TV in the Bay Area. And there was one producer who used to wear her hair on the side, you know, really. And I said, you look just like Rita Hayworth. And she said, oh, you're the second person today to tell me that. And then she looked at me and she said, well, who's Rita Hayworth? So these are icons from another time. And one just died. It wasn't Rita Hayworth. But a lot of people, nobody in the control room, not Antonio. Laurel is helping us out. Lauren is helping us out today. And she doesn't... June Allison died, and she was 88 years old. Now, to a whole generation, June Allison did commercials for Depends. But for World War II, she was not everybody's pinup. But what she was the perfect wife of actors like James Stewart and Van Johnson and other movie heroes. The GIs pinned up Rita Hayworth in World War II. They pinned up Betty Grable. But June Allison was the girl that they wanted to come home to. And she said she never understood her success. She said, I have big teeth. I lisp. My eyes disappear when I smile. My voice is funny. I don't sing like Judy Garland. I don't dance like Sid Charisse, but women identify with me. And while men desire Sid Charisse, they would take me home to meet Mom. Well, it's kind of quaint and poignant, and people want sex bombs now to take home to meet Mom, so it's a whole different time and place. But she has just died, and she was almost 90. She was 88 years old, so June Allison dead at 88. I want to also bring to your attention at Tower Theater, there are a couple of films that I want to recommend to you. Three anyway, but the first one that you might not have heard much about is absolutely worth seeing. This is Sketches of Frank Gehry. Well, who's Frank Gehry? Frank Gehry is an architect who did the Rock and Roll Museum. He did this incredible museum, the Guggenheim in Bilbao, Spain, that looks, it's titanium skin, and it just looks like sculpture. It is so incredible looking. I would make a trip to Bilbao in Spain just to see it, because it's so amazing and magnificent on the printed page. And his good friend is Sidney Pollack, the movie director, movie actor, who has never before made a documentary. And since there was a lot of request for a documentary to be made about Frank Gehry, and he did the Disney, the Concert Center in Los Angeles, a lot of other buildings as well, he decided that Sidney Pollack ought to do it. And as I said, Pollack has directed some very big-time films, but never has made a documentary. It's about an hour and a half long, and I loved it. It was a wonderful meditation on creativity and a long friendship. I really liked that film. So I recommend it to you, and I see that it's at the Tower Theater. The other one that I want to recommend to you and have all along, An Inconvenient Truth, that's the Al Gore film, absolutely worth seeing. I know I sort of had to drag myself. I thought, this is a homework assignment. And then the other one I liked, Prairie Home Companion. I won't say it's an A++, but Meryl Streep is really good in it. And Lily Tomlin is really good. The acting is really wonderful. And it's kind of a charming story. And then if you see Meryl Streep in A Prairie Home Companion, and then go see a film I thought was going to be a chick film, chick lit, you know, which was The Devil Wears Prada, you will see how tremendous an actor Meryl Streep is, in case you ever had a doubt about it. So those are three films that you would want to see. And I've heard good things about Wordplay, but I haven't seen it myself, so I can't tell you. All right, it's back, the Arco Arena. They want to... It didn't die. We're back on track with a new arena. And I was hoping that it was dead for good, but it's not dead for good. So I would like to have your thoughts about that. Here is the arena financing talks have come back from the dead and revived. Informal discussions are leading to a meeting Tuesday in Las Vegas. You know what this has got to mean? This has got to mean some big, big players do not want this thing to die. I don't think it's going to put this much money and for us to pay an additional sales tax to finance this arena. Forget about it. We've got so many bigger problems in Sacramento besides whether or not we have the appropriate venue for the Kings or any other for concerts, for whatever it is. I just think it's a waste of money. And it never makes you a sophisticated big city to have it. They always say, oh, this puts us on the map. I don't think it puts us anywhere except into a place of pauperism. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. And I wonder how you feel about it because suddenly it's back on the table again. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munoz.
Thank you so much, Enid. We got southbound 99 is continuing to be slow traffic, and that's at Fluen Road. Also, check out eastbound 80 slow traffic downtown to Northgate. It is still 86 degrees in Sacramento today. We're going to have the upper 80s to lower 90s looking like tomorrow. I am Antonio Munoz on 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Shaking up the Weasel Empire. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort.
Is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
3:38 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel. We have one line. Well, we did have one line open, but the lines will open up. We're talking about suddenly this. They rose from the dead. The arena financing talks are being revived, and they're going, making a pilgrimage to Vegas. Can you believe that? Don't make them come to us. We're going to go to them. I cannot believe this. I think this is a big waste of money. Let's head over to... we have a new system here for taking calls, so let me see if I can do this. I'm going to go to Steve in Auburn. Steve, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, I'm enjoying your show. I'm driving back to Reno. I want two comments. One, I wanted to recommend another movie. I just came from the Bay Area and saw Who Killed the Electric Car. So make sure that you lobby the theaters to get it to come to Sacramento, because it's a good companion piece to An Inconvenient Truth. It's very, very informative.
Okay. Oh, something happened. That call just dropped. All right. Well, let's go to Greg in Sacramento. Greg, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
I think you hate sports. You don't want the Kings to stay here. But I think we ought to build the arena and have Frank Gehry build it. And then we'll be the awe of the entire world.
Well, if Frank Gehry built the arena, all right, if he built it, you could talk me into it if he built it.
Well, maybe you could hook the Maloofs up with them or something.
Well, the Maloofs are aloof, the aloof Maloofs, I don't know. Okay.
And also, that movie, I saw that movie at the Tower. It's actually no longer playing, but it was extremely...
Which one was not playing? Because I've got the ad that I just cut out over the weekend.
The Frank Gehry movie.
It's no longer playing?
Well, they told us it was the last showing of the night, so...
Oh, wait a minute. It does say... Oh, you're right, in the tiny print. Ends Thursday.
Yeah.
Is it 7/16 or 7/6?
I don't know, but we got to keep the Kings in Sacramento.
Oh.
It's a big league town.
Only if Frank Gehry designs it, otherwise.
Get rid of the ballet, get rid of the, you know, that Crocker Art Museum. We need to keep the Kings.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, get rid of the schools and the hospitals, too, and keep the Kings.
Yeah, what the heck?
Yeah, all right.
We're going to be all flooded anyway soon.
All right. Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
I appreciate the call. Let's see. That opens up a line, 349-1320 or toll-free 866. 626-1320. Ken in Orangevale. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. How's it going?
Going well, Ken.
Okay, here's what blows me away. You have a family like the Maloofs that are worth multiple billions of dollars, you know, and that's just their solid wealth, not to mention their paper wealth or what's coming out of the casinos that they own. And then they want to publicly finance another arena? Okay, so...
Yeah, let them pay for it themselves.
Well, this drives me crazy.
Do I want to continue? You know, I'm already paying. What is our sales tax here? It's high.
Well, here's the thing. We can't get any school bonds passed to get new schools built, but I guarantee
how
you people will support a tax for a new arena.
How about a library tax? Oh, I don't know if they will. How about a library tax? That didn't go over either.
Well, look at the schools.
For the bond, not a tax, the bond. Oh. The bond didn't go.
Oh, have you seen the schools in Sac Unified School District? They're horrible. I mean, the roofs are leaking. There's no AC. The books are out of date. But by God, we're going to have a new arena.
There you go. What's more important, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Well, let's go. We have a new little system here. Elsie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi. I just wanted to make the point that this corporate welfare really has to stop.
I mean, they don't help women and children, but they want to build an arena. Let them do it with the magic of the marketplace.
Well, let them. They want to do it. Let them pay for it. I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
If I want to pay for something, I'd rather something that would have a better, you know, would contribute more to Sacramento.
Yeah, and I also think that the sports mentality, you have winners and you have losers, and you win any way you can, and it's just perfectly all right. I think that's reflected, and it is, it's reflected in the way we've had our election, too, when meanwhile the whole country is losing. So that's my point.
Very good point, Elsie. Thanks for making it. 349-1320. George in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, Enid. 2 years ago, I went to a big meeting that they had about the arena. And, but I thought it would probably come back again. I don't think that Maloofs ever paid back the money that they were lent. I think it was $83 million back in 1997. They assumed the debt from this man named Thomas, who owned the Kings, and threatened to leave unless he got a loan. And I don't think they've ever paid back a penny.
Ooh, well, there you go. Oh, thank you very much for that piece.
I don't know.
All right, well, we'll put it out there as a question and see if anybody has an answer to it. I thank you for the call, George. Terry in Rockland. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Terry.
This is Terry.
Yes, welcome.
Hi. The reason that I've heard a lot about the fact that the ARCO Center is going to be closed in 5 years because of safety concerns, whether we do anything or not, and we will no longer have any arena in the area for any activities. And the Kings only use it like 50 nights a year out of 365. I know my daughter graduated from Sac State at the arena, and there's many, many other activity.
Well, you know what? Then let them pay for it. Let the big venue concert promoters, let the Maloofs, let the people who are going to use it, let them pay for it. But if they're going to raise my sales tax, I do not want it to go to a new arena. There's so many other things of greater needs.
So is the alternative then that we have nothing with the...
No. Let somebody else who's going to use it pay for it. I don't want to pay for it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Terry in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid?
Yes, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to give you a personal thing that happened to me right after that guy, the previous guy, sold to the Maloofs. I contacted the mayor's office because I was outraged because he had sworn that until he got everything paid off, he would not sell the Kings. And I got cussed out by the mayor's office because he was an honorable man and the Maloofs were honorable people. And so, yeah, like you, I'm totally against this because they've got plenty of money. They can go ahead and support the arena.
Or arrange for private financing. There are people who would want to invest in it, do something like that. I don't want an addition to my sales tax to pay for a new arena.
The thing that I have a problem with is like the homeless people and the people on welfare that have to go in and pay a sales tax that can't afford a Kings ticket.
There you go. I thank you. That's a good point. I thank you for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Bill in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Bill.
I love you, Enid.
Thank you, Bill.
But on this subject, you're wrong. And I lived in San Jose for a year, and I went to all kinds of things at the arena downtown. And, you know, when that thing let out, I don't know how many people it holds, but they all came out into the downtown area because it's right downtown, and they spent money. You know, I saw the.
Well, that's fine, but I don't want to pay for it. Let them get private financing for it if they feel so strongly about it. And
I just think it would help downtown.
No, how's it going to help downtown? It's not downtown. It's not like Coors Field in Denver, which is you could walk out of your office building in what they call Lodo, lower downtown, and walk over to take in a ball game. It is so wonderful to be able to do that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about is in that UP lot that's downtown. That's where it ought to be.
Well, let them pay for it. If you think it's going to be so great for the city, that's nice, that's fine, but let them get private monies for it. Why do I have to pay for it? Why should you? We've got hospitals, we've got schools, we have so many huge needs in Sacramento that I don't think that an arena is number one on the list.
Well, I think we're really missing out not having one downtown.
Well, if you feel that way, fine. I'm sure there are a lot of private investors who would be happy to sign on, because if it were so profitable, so wonderful, they'll make a bunch of money. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Johnny, calling from downtown. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well, Johnny.
Well, let me tell you something. These guys built the Palms in Las Vegas for profit. This is how the economy works. If you have an idea, you build it, and you make profit. Why should working stiffs like us help these guys who are billionaires, who have a private chef, for God's sake? Why should I pay more money for a guy who has a private chef to make more money? It doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, if everybody thinks this is so important for the city of Sacramento and they're going to put it downtown, fine. They can get a lot of private monies to pay for it. I don't want to pay one single cent more on my sales tax rate to finance an arena.
I agree with you. And you know what? They say all these jobs are going to create what jobs? $6.75 an hour serving $9 beers and $1.25 hot dogs?
$1.25 in your dreams, $1.25,
yeah,
Johnny.
You're right. No, you know what? These guys have a private chef. They're billionaires, built it themselves. That's how business works. I'm a business owner. Nobody helps me. Nobody helps me finance, and I do hire people. But who's helping me? No one.
John?
I'm not a billionaire, for God's sake. I don't have a private chef. Let these guys build their own arena, and if they're trying to make money, that's how you do it. You invest and you make profit. You don't need working stiffs like us help them make more money. Why?
I thank you for the call. Good questions. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Michael in Cameron Park. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, I just want to say I love your show.
Thank you.
I agree almost with everything you say. I listen to it every day. But it's either they get an arena or they leave. You may not care. There are a lot of people who do care. But there's five or six cities right now just waiting for an NBA franchise.
Well, but all right, they can have an arena. I just don't want to pay for it. Let them arrange private financing for their arena. Why should it be on our dime?
Not to mention if they do pay for it themselves, which they probably could, they will be blackballed by other owners. You can look at Pac-Bell Park. They did finance it themselves, and a lot of people are talking about how they are blackballed.
Wait. I don't understand. If they find the private monies to pay for it,
yes.
So what's the harm in that? What's wrong with that?
For one, they will be blackballed by the other owners. People won't want to deal with them.
Why? Why will they be blackballed? I don't get it.
Across the country, no one pays for their own arena.
Oh, because they found a bunch of dummies that are going to go for it, and these rich owners get other people to pay for it. How are you? I don't understand, though, how you're blackballed, Michael.
Because people don't do business with them. The other owners shun it.
Oh, because somebody broke ranks and paid for it out of their own pocket. I get it. I thank you for the call, Michael. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio. Oh, God, I can't. Antonio Muniz.
A little tongue-tied in it. It's looking about the same out there today. Just be careful. Southbound 99, you got slow traffic at Florin Road. Eastbound 80, slow traffic downtown to Northgate. 86 degrees out there for you, Sacramento. I am Antonio Muniz on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Boxcar betting is...
If you send messages.
Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I...
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Hey, listen.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
354 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. What we're talking about is suddenly the arena financing has arisen from the dead, the semi-dead. We should all live as long as this arena financing conversation has continued. And they're going to go to Vegas to deal with the Maloofs and the aloof Maloofs. And there's one particular Maloof who seems to be more aloof than the other Maloofs. And they want to get this thing going, and they want us to pay for it. And one of you called in to say that the owners are going to be blackballed. There's going to be some blackballing going on if they have to get private financing. I don't get that. Jen, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Are you there? Let me see if I hit this. Jen, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome.
Hi, yes. I just want to say I really don't understand the mentality of what people are thinking. You have billionaires that are asking people that barely make a living to pay for something that they will reap the 100% benefits too. And in addition to, what's to say, once the new arena is here, that they won't say, hey, well, we're going to have to charge you more because this is a new arena. That is what they typically do. And I just don't understand the mentality. But I guess it just stands to reason why people still support Republicans after all that they've done. It's just mind-boggling.
Well, it's mind-boggling, and first of all, sales taxes are regressive taxes. So isn't that what they've always been called, regressive taxes? So if you're among the poor, you're going to pay disproportionately more. I just think it's a bad way to finance it. I don't like it. I don't like it from a moral perspective. The city probably has all kinds of reasons why they think it's going to be great. I think it's a substitute for Viagra for a lot of guys, frankly. Jen, I thank you for the call. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I don't know if this is going to work. Debbie. Oh, no, it's not going to work. It didn't work. We're talking about the financing of the arena. If everybody thinks this is a wonderful idea for Sacramento and you put it downtown where you can maybe go to work in the Capitol and play hooky for the rest of the day, go to a game, or it brings you downtown, I don't know how viable that is from a traffic perspective, those of you who are smarter about that stuff than I am, I'd love to hear your thoughts. But in any event, whatever the reasons are for building a new arena, fine. You think this is a good idea? All right. That's fine. I just don't want to pay any sales tax. I don't want to pay a penny for it. The library bonds didn't pass. I think it's more important to have libraries and schools and hospitals and other civic services, that somehow we have money for an arena. We're willing to finance an arena, but we are not willing to finance services that are really, I think, way more important for us as a city. 349-1320, Bernard in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to say that the callers, it seems like the women that have called are the only ones with a brain in their heads. What you have is a bunch of guys who are sports nuts calling in about this. This is lunacy. This makes no sense at all. A city with unemployment as high as it is, to spend that much money to build a stadium, to create jobs, the jobs are going to create a minimum wage.
and lots of other things as well. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
A dire warning from public health officials.
Tobacco could kill a billion people this century.
Eating fish could prevent blindness. I'm Dan Ravitch.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It's a staggering number. Experts warn that before this century is over, a billion people around the world could die from smoking, 10 times the number killed in the 20th century. There's an explosion of tobacco use overseas, and as CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonsi reports, the decline in this country might be over.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
John Seffrin heads the American Cancer Society. It's the first time in a decade the number of teen smokers grew, from about 21% in 2003 to 23% in 2005. Seffrin says that tiny 1% increase is a big red flag.
I see a stopping of the decline. When you quit spending money on interventions that work, unfortunately, you can go backwards in this world.
And he says lawmakers are blowing it, cutting funding on prevention efforts and refusing to regularly raise taxes on cigarettes, a proven way to discourage teen smokers.
At the same time, cigarette companies have tripled their spending on advertising. If you eat carrots for your eyes, maybe you should make the main course fish. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has the latest research.
Over age 75, the eyes of almost 1 out of 3 people fail from macular degeneration. 7% lose their vision entirely. But Dr. Johanna Seddon of the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary reports finding the best way to cut your risk.
And that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids, as in fish.
Especially salmon with its so-called good fat, 35% less chance of blindness. But smoking cigarettes doubles your risk of macular degeneration. Dan Raviv, CBS News.
Now this.
The Michelin Man wants you to join him in the pursuit of driving pleasure. And he's willing to offer a financial incentive. Right now, you can get a $50 mail-in rebate when you purchase a set of 4 new Michelin MX Series Touring tires. Visit your Michelin dealer from July 1st to July 31st to maximize the enjoyment of your car and get a $50 mail-in rebate. To find a Michelin dealer near you, visit MichelinMan.com. Michelin, a better way forward.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed. Compared to OTC pain relievers.
Secretary of State Rice says the Chinese mission to North Korea has some promise, and the Bush administration would like to let that play out. So for now, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports there's no push for U.N. sanctions.
There's every indication the Security Council is trying to be united in its response to the North Korean missile launches, agreeing to delay a vote on a Japanese resolution to allow China more time for negotiations with Pyongyang, and possibly modifying the resolution now before the Council so that China and Russia won't veto it or abstain. China and Russia oppose sanctions.
Members of Congress are not above the law, says a federal judge in Washington. He's ruled that the recent raid on Capitol Hill targeting Louisiana Democrat William Jefferson was legal. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has background.
House Republican leaders were so angry about this unprecedented search of a congressman's office that President Bush intervened to minimize the political damage, putting everything obtained in the search under seal for 45 days for the Department of Justice and leaders of Congress to work out a compromise. That hasn't happened. The 45 days, though, is over, and now the judge in the case says the prosecutors can use what they found.
Congressman Jefferson is the target of a bribery investigation. Shamil Bashayev, the Chechen warlord blamed for the terrorist attack on a school in Beslan, Russia, has been killed. A truck packed with explosives blew up next to his car, apparently the work of Russia's Federal Security Service. He deserved it, says President Bush, and CBS News reporter Beth Noble in Moscow says many would agree.
The Beslan school siege, because it targeted children,
was so cruel and so brutal that people said, you know, I'm sympathetic towards the Chechen plight, but targeting children is outrageous, and it just can't happen.
331 people died in that siege by Chechen rebels 2 years ago. Basayev is also linked to the seizure of a Moscow theater in 2002 in which dozens of people died. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
4:06, 6 minutes after 4 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Remember, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and all calls to Enid Live are toll-free. If you're in the 916 area code, the number's 349-1320, and outside at 866-626-1320. If you're just joining us, you have missed Bill Maher, but you are just in time for Jeffrey Nunberg, who teaches at UC Berkeley. Oh, and there was, what a triumphant, the orchestra was playing a hello to you. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Nunberg.
Well, thanks a lot for having me.
Dr. Nunberg has written, or Jeff, has written a book called Talking Right, How Conservatives Turned Liberalism into a Tax-Raising, Latte-Drinking, Sushi-Eating, Volvo-Driving, New York Times-Reading, Body-Piercing, Hollywood-Loving, Left-Wing Freak Show. Well, I saw an L.A. Times piece about your book, and actually the piece that you wrote it, and it was called, and the headline was Democrats Loser Linguistics. Talk to me about why you wrote this book.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of concern in recent years among Democrats and people, and liberals certainly, and a feeling that Democrats are losing the language wars to Republicans. There's, of course, all this talk about framing and so on. And I think there's a real sense that the Democrats' problems in part have to do with their inability to communicate. Now, that for a lot of people means that we have to come up with better framing and better taglines and catchphrases and so on than the Republicans. And it's certainly the case that the Democrats really have lost the bumper sticker wars. The Republicans have clear skies and healthy forests and no child left behind.
Well, wait a minute. You cited in your L.A. Times piece, "Together, America can do better." This is the Democrats, as you put it, the Democrats' awkward new slogan.
Right.
It says nothing.
Grammatically, they can't get the adverb to agree with the subject, and all it says.
Oh, wait, so explain that to me, because I thought
that's sort of like saying together the North won the Civil War. I mean, you know what it's supposed to be.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Kind of mental stutter step.
All right.
But all it says, more important, is all it says is, well, whatever else we are, we're not Republicans, which is true, and in this election year in particular may be an important thing to say. But people have no sense that the Democrats stand for anything. If you ask people whether the Republicans have a sense of what they stand for, more than half say yes. Ask the same question about the Democrats, and it's about 25%.
So why is this? The problem isn't only that the Democrats have inferior ad agencies and don't come up with the best lines, and they're people who make a living coming up with really brilliant lines, really terrific catchphrases. And for some reason, is it as you're suggesting that the Democrats, their thinking is so feckless that they can't come up with any kind of a line? That,
well, I think it's not really a question of they're doing better on catchphrases. I mean, with apart from that slogan, they're making an effort to come up with catchphrases. But the catchphrases, as annoying as they are to liberals and Democrats, really are not the source of the Republican success. In fact, for all those lines like clear skies and healthy forests and so on, people still give the edge on the environment to the Democrats, as they do with Social Security, with taxes, with education, and so forth. Where the Republicans have really made progress is not with the issue framing and so on, but with what I think of as the ground zero level, ground zero language of politics. Words like values and elite and liberal itself, which are the basic words that we talk about politics with. And the astonishing thing is when you look at the way these words are used nowadays, not just by the right, but in the so-called liberal media and by liberals themselves, they're used in ways that concede a certain right-wing point of view. So the Democrats have basically lost the English language itself. To speak about politics nowadays in America is implicitly to speak with a right-wing point of view.
Well, somebody made the point that it's a really narrow band of fringe people that are dictating. I think it was Bill Clinton, just recently in Aspen, who made the point that it was a narrow band of a right-wing right-wingers who are really dictating the direction of the Republican Party, and everybody else has had to respond. In other words, nobody's playing offense. We're all playing the Democrats are playing defense.
They're playing defense, and more to the point, they have it. The Republicans have this enormously successful narrative, this basic narrative they've been developing since the Nixon years, really, and that came into full flower in the Reagan years, about how the decent, simple, ordinary people of the middle Americans are finding their personal values, their standards of morality, their patriotic values, their religious values being betrayed and sneered at by these effete, elitist, Volvo-driving liberals of the East and West Coast. And in effect, what it did is turned a classical philosophical distinction between liberals and conservatives, a serious discussion about what the role of government should be in economic and social life, into a kind of Archie versus Meathead discussion about bickering about what you should drive to work in the morning, or what you should have when you get up, what you should drink when you get up from in the morning.
My guest is Jeffrey Nunberg, a linguist who teaches at Berkeley. He's chair of the usage panel of one of my favorite dictionaries, the American Heritage Dictionary, and his book is called Talking Right: How Conservatives Turn Liberalism into a Tax Raising, Latte Drinking, Sushi Eating, etc., etc., etc. freak show. He makes some wonderful points, and so let me ask you. So the narrative for the right-wing Republicans are that they have been victimized all this time, marginalized, even though they're now it's a form of dominant thinking, and are little gorillas here trying to be heard in a sea of cultural denigration. What should the Democratic narrative be?
Well, it should be really the same narrative, but not based on cultural distinctions, but economic distinctions. What the Republicans have succeeded in doing is taking this classical populist narrative about the ordinary people and so on, and turning it into this red state, blue state distinction, which has no real social or cultural reality, but which sort of invests these superficial cultural distinctions. Do you go to NASCAR or what sport do you follow and so on, into the basic divide in America, and in so doing blur the economic distinctions between what Bill Clinton called the people who work hard and play by the rules and the people who are making out like bandits under the Bush economic policies.
Well, Bill Clinton asked at Aspen, I think this past weekend, how this administration could justify cuts to the richest Americans, tax cuts, the abolition, which they're trying to do with the estate tax, when they could be protecting our ports. In fact, the abolition of the estate tax costs about 20 times more than it costs to protect our ports.
That's absolutely right, and the Democrats have to make that point and make it over and over and over again, and in so doing recapture not just the momentum, the electoral momentum, but recapture the English language itself.
Give us an example of how that could happen, and why have the Democrats been so frightened of making the point, of reiterating what it is that the Democrats have historically stood for, when Russ Feingold wanted to censure the president, whom I call George W. Dickey Bush, because then I can say there are two dicks running the White House, when he wanted to do that, everybody ran for the Bushes and hid. So why is it the Democrats, they apparently feel, and I don't know if there's polling data, research data to support it, that if they really talk about what if they really stand for something, that somehow they will alienate a moderate Republican voter and they're afraid to stand for something.
I think that's right. I think that the Democrats have been terrified of confronting the Republicans. For example, of raising the issue of social class and economic class, whether they use that very phrase or not, they're terrified of this charge that the Republicans always come out with class warfare. You look in the press, every time the Republicans introduce a new tax policy that cuts taxes for the rich, the phrase, they start talking about tax war, class warfare, whenever the Democrats try to make any protestations about it. And that's the way it works, that the Democrats are cowed. They're cowed by the Republicans' talk about big government.
They're cowed by themselves.
Right,
they
right.
should be standing up to the plate. And my experience in life in general has been that if you try to sell yourself out and pretend to be something you're not, you lose twice.
Right.
You lose because it never works, and you lose because you've gone against your own principles and it hasn't worked, so you feel like you've lost twice. So if I were asking you, because one of the things that Karl Rove did brilliantly was to call the Democrat, the Democratic, and that's the other thing they call it, the people who hate Democrats call them Democrats, or the Democrat program, rather than the Democratic program, which is an interesting use of the language. That's what the right-wingers seem to do. He characterized it as cut and run, and then about a week later, the Republicans came forward with some sort of a program to withdraw from Iraq, and that wasn't cut and run. So, and the Democrats had no language to counter cut and run. It made them sound like they were unpatriotic. It made them sound like they were cowards. Somebody here called in and said leave and let live would be a way to counter it. But what would you suggest? You're a linguist.
What can we do? It's a wonderful example of the way this works in several ways. First of all, it shows how disciplined the Republicans are about using the same phrases over and over and over again, whether it's Republican politicians, the right-wing talk show hosts, the folks on Fox News, the people at the think tanks and so on, to arrive at a certain phrase and hit on it and hit on it and hit on it and hit on it. The Democratic response is also interesting because they have this phrase cut and run, so we need a phrase that sounds like cut and run but means something else. So they were doing as you say, leave and lie, or what I can't remember.
Oh, no. We were doing it ourselves, the listeners and
right.
I were trying to come up with something that would counter cut and run, since I didn't see that the Democrats were doing it.
Right, but and this was the way it was done. It's the same response the Democrats have. Well, they're using values. We have to get values on our side. It's not a question of taking the very words and reworking them or recapturing them. It's rather a question of making a case that appeals. Finding a phrase that appeals to emotion.
Well, how about
direct way? I wouldn't bother with cut and run. I just ask these people. I'd quote General Patton. I'd say, how many carloads of dog tags are you willing to spend in Iraq? How about it over an indefinite period of time?
Oh, that's good.
It is good. I mean, it's not good. I'm bragging, but it's good because it makes it case. You know, how many soldiers are you willing to throw in as cannon fodder into this American soldiers?
But the Democrats do have values, and what they value is standing up for the working class. What they've historically valued is standing up for the working class. The middle class now is under much greater assault, and they ought to be standing up and championing the middle class, championing values, championing common sense. For example, how can you be the first administration which, in a time of war, is cutting taxes and for the richest Americans?
Absolutely, I have no argument with any of that.
We are in historic deficits.
The mistake that the Democrats make, assuming that this, that values is the, it's not a word like freedom, which is part and parcel of the American political discourse from the founding of the country. It's a word that the right picked up and uses a kind of tag to stand in for a whole bunch of, like a file header, to stand in for a whole bunch of stories about the war on Christmas or the Ten Commandments monument or some lenient judge in Vermont and so on and so forth. The important thing is not to take that word back. The important thing, and when Democrats say we have values too, they're using the word in its dictionary sense. Well, they mean we have principles, but Democrats,
it sounds
as principles.
It sounds like, well, me too,
right,
we have values too.
Well, Democrats, the silliest thing that I've heard people talk about is traditional liberal values. Now, it's not that there aren't traditional liberal principles and so on, but traditional is not a virtue that liberals and progressives have ever felt has ever been terribly important.
Well, see, they're trying to meld a couple of things that don't go together. They're going to try to hit all
the language of the Republicans. They need to put their case in new words, and more important, in terms of a new narrative, one that directly confronts the narrative that the Republicans have been telling about this cultural divide in America between the pickup truck drivers and the Volvo drivers.
Well, how about the people?
If that were the main thing that the divide.
How about the people who are trying to strip mine the country as opposed to the strip mineees?
Right.
That's really the and this business about hitting all bases. You know, you try to shoot all these targets, and you wind up shooting yourself in the. You wind up getting none of them.
Right.
I am so delighted that you joined us today, and I'm delighted that you wrote the book. My guest has been Jeffrey Nunberg. The book is called Talking Right: How Conservatives Turn Liberalism into a Tax Raising, Latte Drinking, Sushi Eating, Volvo Driving, New York Times Reading, Body Piercing, Hollywood Loving, Left Wing Freak Show. Thank you, Dr. Nunberg.
Thank you, and you read that beautifully.
Thank you for joining, and thank you for the wonderful book.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with, I'm missing key parts here, with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. It's not looking too bad out there today, Sacramento. You do have a traffic hazard. There's a vehicle in the road eastbound I-80 just east of Longview Drive, so be aware of that. It's currently 88 degrees out there, and I am Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's good for the environment. No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, you streaming listeners. Open your media player and click on the link to nohagglemortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow nohagglemortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. 3, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to nohagglemortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to nohagglemortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2. The 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kebab, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
Local and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
4:23 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. What did you think about what Dr. Nunberg had to say, that the Republicans have created a real narrative? This is interesting. We've been talking a lot about narratives lately. If you listened last week, we had a guest on who'd written a book, Stumbling Onto Happiness, and I'll think of his name, I guess, in a second. And he talked about you're happier when you can concoct, you know, the thing that happens to you. It's not about the thing that happens to you in life that makes you happy or sad. It's the narrative that you create to describe the thing that happens to you. Some people get into horrible, horrible, painful situations, whether it's an accident or a health issue or emotional issue, and they can create a more positive narrative out of it. Some people can have the most minor of things afflict them, and they create a terrible narrative about it, and so they're miserable. So it's not the thing that happens to you, it's the story you create about it. And Dr. Nunberg is talking about how The Republicans have created a narrative. They've talked about values, they've talked about family values, and they have sort of captured the territory. And Democrats, instead of saying, no, wait, this is what we stand for, they're just saying, well, we're in favor of values too. Well, we're not cowards if we want to withdraw from Iraq. The moment that the Democrats suggested withdrawal from Iraq, Karl Rove said, cut and run. And every talk host, right-wing wacko in America said, cut and run. Everybody stayed on message, cut and run. And then Democrats had to scramble and come back with something, and they came back with something really weak, if anything at all. And then a week later, the Republicans decided that they were going to leave. They were going to think of a withdrawal program for Iraq, some kind of a plan for withdrawal, sort of pulling the rug out from the Democrats. So in life, instead of having to play defense, you want to sometimes go on the offense. You want to say, what do you stand for? Democrats, what do you stand for? And you want to be muscular in doing it. And with that, in that spirit, there were a bunch of pieces over the weekend about the governor's race. Dan Walters saying you can almost work up some sympathy for Phil Angelides, because he finds Phil Angelides a not particularly sympathetic figure. He finds him aggressive to the point of arrogance and often condescending and evasive about what he'd do if elected governor of California. You know, it's often true that smart people are considered to be arrogant. I don't know if it's because they're smarter than everybody else in the room. I haven't found him condescending, but then I've never worked with him or for him, so I don't know. But here is what I do know. Over the weekend, friends of mine, just observers, just in conversation, are saying the following, that Angelides is not going to win, that Schwarzenegger is going to win, that Angelides doesn't have a shot. I find this interesting, because for the last, I don't know how many weeks, Angelides seems to be MIA. Now, I know we're not at the election. Maybe you take some time off now and get your strength together. But a head of steam is moving in Arnold's direction. And Phil is I don't know, he's sort of playing that feckless Democratic deal where he's apologizing for some comments that his advisor Bob Mulholland made about Arnold, saying that Arnold and Kim Il-jong must get their shoes with the lifts made by the same Italian shoemaker. So Angelides had to step back from that. I actually think it's not a bad line. I'm happy for these lines. These are good. So what do you think? What's going to happen with Phil? 349-1320 or 866-620-61320. And what kind of a narrative does he have to do? And what kind of a narrative do the Democrats have to do in order to succeed? And do you think it's not a particularly perky sign for the Democrats that in San Diego, a Republican lobbyist of all things, in the wake of that hideous Duke Cunningham scandal, managed by the merest slip of votes to get elected in that special election? It's only until November. But what do the Democrats have to do, and why can't they create a narrative? We're smart. We're tough. We know how to govern. We know how to run. How come we can't, why can't we cook up something? And then here is the Abies editorial on Sunday. Governor, there's a big risk, Governor, in playing it safe, and here's the lead to this editorial. What happened to the bold vows of reform that won voters over 3 years ago? Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's term in office is starting to resemble an episode of Let's Make a Deal. You know, I think that Arnold is very vulnerable because when you get past the celebrity, which I guess is dazzling to a lot of people, when you get past that, what you have is somebody who hasn't thought too much about a lot of these issues. Somebody who really doesn't, who hasn't thought very deeply about a lot of policy issues and who's trying to make a deal with everybody in order to get elected. 349-1320. Nick in Davis. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hey, Enid, thanks for doing what you do. It's great.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention there's another book that's kind of like the book that you were just talking about. It's called Don't Think of an Elephant. Have you heard of it?
Is that the George Lakoff book?
Yes, exactly. It is every Democrat, every progressive should read that book because it's extremely short, it's extremely interesting, and it's just to the point. It talks about how the Republicans have framed these issues in the way that they want people to see. Like, for example, they call tax cuts tax relief, as if taxing and paying for everything that we have in the United States is some sort of affliction. And it's a way that the Republicans have been able to take control by framing the issues when the issues are obviously better sought by, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans.
All right, well, look at what they call the estate tax. They call it the death tax.
Right, exactly. And you look at Karl Rove, and it's funny because I can't take credit for my dad, but my dad said that things like Karl Rove says cut and run is what would come back and say, you know what, that's a Roveism. That's false. That's a Roveism. That's something that he came up. It's oversimplification, and we need to start saying things like that's a Roveism. I think that's a great little catchphrase.
Well, how about just saying that's a lie?
Well, because it is a lie, but people like catchphrases, and for some reason people need to, people need to have that. We do say it's a lie, but for some reason the Democrats, they don't like calling other people liars, and I don't know why. They should just come out and say that's a lie. But another thing that I think is useful to say would be a Roveism, because it is.
Well, a Roveism is to me too kind. I would like to say, I'm going to put the call out. Nick, thank you so much I appreciate your observations. I'm going to put the call out to anytime one of these Karl Rove lines drops on our heads, I want to, what can we call it besides a Roveism? Because I think that's way too kind. You have to call it something that's got some more negative punch to it than that. All right, which brings me to Bill Clinton in Aspen. There is in Aspen something called the Aspen Institute. Walter Isaacson, who has written, who used to run Time Magazine and used to run CNN, is now running the Aspen Institute, and he's written, what did he do? He wrote a book, I think, about Benjamin Franklin. It took him quite a long time to write it. They have a lot of big names that come and talk about big ideas. And Bill Clinton was just there, and I think so was Karl Rove. I don't know if they stay overlapped each other, but James Fallow, who is a national correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly, asked Bill Clinton, who was there speaking in Aspen, what is the one question that you, Bill Clinton, would ask Karl Rove? What is the one question you would ask Karl Rove? Clinton didn't just invent one question that he would ask Rove. He came up with three questions, and this is what he would ask Karl Rove. He said he most wanted to know what Rove would do had Clinton's senior advisor blown the cover of a CIA agent who happened to be married to the man who refused to falsify findings about nuclear transactions taking place between Niger and Iraq. So the first question that he would ask Rove, his number one question that Clinton would ask Rove, is he most wanted to know what Clinton would do had any of Clinton's senior advisors blown the cover of a CIA agent who happened to be married to the man who refused to falsify findings about nuclear transactions taking place between Niger and Iraq. And he openly wondered, so this is question number two, whether Rove would instruct Republican congressmen to call a White House official who would do such a thing a traitor. Ha, that would be Dick Cheney. And finally, Clinton wanted to know, why is it that if the Bush administration is as concerned with national security as it claims, why would it spend 20 times the amount of money it would take to shore up gaps in port security to repeal the estate tax for the nation's elite, which consists of less than 1% of the population? Now, you know, this is what the language that Democrats should be, they should be hiring Bill Clinton to write their language for them. The third question, again, that Clinton would ask of Rove is he would want to know, why is it that if the Bush administration is as concerned with national security as it claims to be, why would it spend 20 times the amount of money it would take to shore up gaps in port security to repeal the estate tax for the nation's elite, which consists of less than 1% of the population? Well, these are three blockbuster questions. And I want your thoughts about these questions. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you very much, Enid. It's looking pretty good out there still. Just have that traffic hazard eastbound 80 just east of Longview Drive. So be aware of that. Be safe out there. It's 88 degrees today in Sacramento. I am Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Taking the left lane all the way home with Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You win.
fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow, this guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply, sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sit on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete Dishul is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. And remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers. And it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
4:38 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about language. We're talking about Democrats constructing a narrative. We're talking about the three questions that Bill Clinton would ask Karl Rove, and we will be talking about what Karl Rove has to say. But first, joining us is Charlie Brown, candidate for running against Deep Doo Doo Doolittle. Charlie, what's going on? Give us the latest. This is for running for Congress.
Hello, Enid. Well, we're opening the campaign headquarters tonight at 342 Lincoln Street in Roseville, and we'd like to invite everybody to come down and help celebrate the campaign to take the district back for the people and take it away from the lobbyists and take it away from a congressman that lives back in Virginia, not here in Roseville or the 4th Congressional District.
And what other news do you have? I think you got some juicy news to share with us, don't you, Charlie?
Well, we're very pleased to announce that General Wes Clark has endorsed me today.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, very pleased to have someone of his stature that has been overseas, knows what it is to fight insurgents. His work in Bosnia and the Balkans was wonderful in the peace it brought to the area there, and having someone who has run for president feel that I'm the person who can beat John Doolittle and return this district back to the people, that's a big plus.
All right, let me ask you this question. Has the Democrat, who are some of the people who endorse you? And I know you went to the Air Force, you're a graduate of the Air Force Academy, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Have you got some other prominent people who have endorsed you?
Well, we've got, of course, Max Cleland, who was out here, did some campaigning with me and was very supportive back in April. John Kerry, very supportive. Just mostly it's not so many of the big people that are supporting me. It's the smaller folks here in the district that have been writing these small checks that makes this a competitive race.
And how can they keep writing those checks? Who do they send them to?
Well, they can send them to Brown for Congress, the post office box 4506 in Auburn, California, zip 95604, or they can look at the website at charliebrownforcongress.org.
And tell me about what's happening with Mrs. Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle.
Well, they're still trying to find out exactly what's going on there. It's not, you know, this was revelation that came out that, you know, supposedly she was cleared, but that's not really the whole story, because they're looking into when she got paid. It just happened to be after she had performed the alleged work for Abramoff and his clients, and these checks seem to coincide with votes that Doolittle made in Congress, or letters that he wrote, more than actual work she did.
Don't you think it's interesting that an anti-gambling Mormon guy like Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle is writing letters on behalf of an Iowa tribal casino and trying to get it opened up or something along those lines? A place that has nothing to do with the state of California on an issue that he says he's anti. Why would he be doing such a thing, do you think?
Well, again, it just seemed like there was a check that came out of Abramoff's office to his wife about the same time he was trying to promote the Sauk Indian tribe in Iowa. And that was, having grown up in Iowa, the Indian tribe there was a, you know, more of an internal dispute between the tribe itself that they were trying to decide things, not, you know, more let the local Native Americans decide, not get a congressman from California with a lobbyist involved.
Well, isn't that an amazing thing? So let me see if I've got this right. Mrs. Deep Doo-Doo-Doolittle is always trying to skim 15% off the top of any campaign contributions you make to Doolittle. And that wasn't enough, I guess. So in addition to the fact that he makes, about $165,000 a year, and she's made well over $100,000 this year, they charge off their child care costs to the campaign, and that isn't enough. And then there's all this Abramoff money coming in, and it seems to coincide with not necessarily the work she has done for him, but mainly the work that her husband has done for Abramoff in the form of these votes. The timing is ever so curious about that, don't you think?
Well, I think the only thing you missed there, Enid, was he actually makes over $160,000 a year. Congress just gave itself a pay raise last month, so their salary went up.
Oh, their salary went up.
Yeah.
Is this the same Congress that could not agree on raising the minimum wage a couple of bucks?
That would be the one.
That's the same Congress that thought?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Well, Charlie Brown, so tonight your campaign headquarters opens in Roseville on Lincoln Avenue. What time are the shindig?
342 Lincoln Street in Old Roseville, going to start at 7 o'clock tonight.
You going to have something to eat and drink?
We will have something to eat and drink. We have a wonderful Mexican restaurant right next door to us that's going to be providing food. We'll have some other chips and things available, so I would encourage folks to come on down and celebrate democracy.
Celebrate democracy, and where on Lincoln? Where is that in Roseville? Lincoln and what? What's across street?
342 Lincoln. It's close to Lincoln and Church and what's considered historic Roseville. It's on the west side of the train tracks. Most people will probably...
If you go down Vernon, is it nearby?
You'll take Vernon, you'd go right on Lincoln, right on Oak, take Washington underneath the train tracks to pop up in Old Roseville.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Charlie Brown, thanks for letting us know that Wes Clark, General Wes Clark, has joined a growing list of people who have endorsed your candidacy. And are you getting any more money from the Democratic Party?
We're not getting anything from the Democratic Party right now as far as money, but we are getting a tremendous amount of support out of Washington, people like Wes Clark. Our money is coming from the people right here in the district who want change.
Well, all right. We're encouraging them to make their checks out to your campaign. Charlie, thanks so much for calling in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Enid.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Whoa, there, Wes Clark. Mm. Oh, let's head over. 349-1320, 866. 626-1320. Is it, I'm sorry, I don't know, is it Jamin?
It's Jamin.
Jamin, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Jamin.
I just wanted to kind of make the point that it seems to me like the point that you made earlier about being ourselves and not trying to pretend to be something else is really the way to attack the issues. And rather than trying to come up with catchphrases and emulate what the Republicans are doing, really to just put the issues out in front a little bit more and point out the things like some of the Republicans are actually abusing their positions and not representing the public in general as they're supposed to be. I mean, they're supposed to be there for us, representing us. So. I think the way that they use the catchphrases is really catering to people who are not very concerned about the issues and are really not looking into the issues. The Democrats are typically speaking to people who are more concerned with the issues and are looking for more.
But you know, Jamin, I think you're saying something really good, and that is instead of the catchphrases, which we would like some good catchphrases, you're saying forget about the style, go for the substance, go for being what you really are. I think if anybody ever went to a therapist in their life, a therapist would say that. Don't try to be what you're not. You want to be what you are.
Right.
And the Democrats need to be what they are and need to be unashamedly, unabashedly. This is what we are. This is what we stand for. How dare you say that we are cowardly and unpatriotic instead of whimpering in the bushes when Russ Feingold has the courage to stand up and say, let's censure Dickey. Everybody headed for the hills.
Right, right. Stand up and have some integrity and show us that you are supporting us, the people, and also point out where other politicians are in it for themselves and where they're actually self-serving and they're actually treating us like we work for them.
Jamin, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mike, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, happy Monday. Happy Monday, too.
Thank you.
Hey, when is America going to actually stand up and do something for itself? We got to be looking like fools to the Europeans. Here we are. We sent our boys over to fight in a war that we don't believe in, but we're not even getting the job done. Even when we find out that we didn't do it right the first time, nobody's standing up and going, okay, let's go in there and finish this job, get it done and over. And where's the humanity?
There's no finishing this job. This job is unfinishable. I just say, come home. This job is so complicated. It's such a mess over there. I don't know if they can finish it.
Well, I'll tell you what. We didn't send over enough troops. The whole world knows that. We could even take care of our own people here in the United States during a hurricane situation. But in Pakistan, when they had a hurricane, or no, there were an earthquake, United States help was there the next day. I'm ashamed to be an American sometimes, and I'm a vet saying that. And I just hope the people get behind Charlie Brown and whoever and support that. And last but not least, I'll go, the guy that we would like to see to be governor, if he doesn't go after the minority vote, he's going to get slammed.
Well, he's going to have, if you're talking about Phil, Phil's going to have the labor unions behind him and so on, but he better start stepping on the gas because Arnold is getting traction, and we haven't seen enough of Phil, and he needs to make himself heard, and he needs to challenge Arnold where he's most vulnerable in that he's a movie actor who has not thought much about politics. He doesn't have a solution for anything. The state's in a mess, and I don't think it has improved in his tenure.
Yeah, you got a point there.
We've had a test drive with Arnold, and we're no better off than when he started, when he took over. So I think that's a point that the Phil Angelides campaign ought to be making. Mike, I thank you for the call, and I thank you for the passion. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you very much, Enid. It's looking all right out there. There's a few trouble spots to be aware of. We got southbound 99 slow traffic at 12th to Florin Road, eastbound 80 slow traffic from downtown to Northgate, and eastbound Capital City Freeway slow from East Street to the Cal Expo. So keep an eye out there. It's 88 degrees currently in Sacramento. I am Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about the war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? So I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
.452 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. If you were just tuning us in, you have missed Bill Maher, the comedian. But, oh, we're going to have tickets to give away to Bill Maher and also Kris Kristofferson today, and we'll figure out when we're going to do that. Antonio will tell me when we're going to do that. I'm leading it to Antonio to tell me. Okay, we're talking about a lot of things. And you have also missed Jeffrey Nunberg, who has written a book on how is it that the conservatives have really dominated linguistics. He's a professor of linguistics at Berkeley. And the book is really pretty interesting, and the points he makes are pretty interesting. So he's saying that the Republicans have created a narrative, and the Democrats have not been able to do that. And it isn't that Democrats don't stand for something. We stand for a lot of things. You know that. But somehow we're afraid to say it. We're afraid that if we show who we are, moderate Republicans are going to run away. I think when you show what you are, when you really demonstrate what you are, it makes people come to you. When you pretend to be all things to all people, you're nothing to anybody, to no one. Is in life, and I think as a political party that the same could be said of it. So here's what Bill Clinton said. He would ask Karl Rove three questions. The first question he would ask Karl Rove is, what would Rove do had Clinton's senior advisor blown the cover of a CIA agent who happened to be married to the man who refused to falsify findings about nuclear transactions taking place between Niger and Iraq? And number two, he would ask Rove whether Rove would instruct Republican congressmen to call a White House official who would do such a thing a traitor. And that would be Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney did that. And thirdly, Clinton wanted to know, why is it that if the Bush administration is as concerned with national security as it claims to be, why would it spend 20 times the amount of money it would take to shore up gaps in port security to repeal the estate tax for the nation's elite, which consists of less than 1% of the population? In other words, there's no money. They won't spend what it takes to shore up our security, our port security, but they want to give 20 times that amount of money to the nation's richest. And here's what Karl Rove had to say. He also was in Aspen. I don't know if he was there exactly the same moment that Bill Clinton was. But he said, he noted that, and doesn't this sound ever so typically Republican? He noted that his own cousin has served three tours of duty over in Iraq. Isn't that just too peachy for words? Aren't we just so thrilled for Karl Rove that his own cousin, he didn't go, Karl Rove isn't going anywhere, but his own cousin has served three tours of duty over there. It won't be perfect, Rove answered when Aspen Institute host Walter Isaacson pressed him about how Iraq's future might look. It won't be perfect, he said. So this is Karl Rove, who received a mixed reception in Aspen. On a number of occasions, Rove initiated a public display of introspection. At one point, when Isaacson pointed out Rove's hypocritical denouncing of political smear campaigns, Rove looked out in the audience and said, hey, look, make up your mind. Either I'm a genius or I'm an idiot. And then he said, well, I'm a hothead, I admit it. So when I see some of these things, such as the leader of the Senate Democrats, who comes out and says the president is a liar when we know it's absolutely not true, well, I just get a little hot under the collar. You know, he just said that. He doesn't really think he's a hothead. So your thoughts about the narrative that Democrats ought to create. 349-1320. Time Magazine, the cover, The End of Cowboy Diplomacy. All the good feeling at the White House at President Bush's early birthday party on July 4th couldn't hide the fact that the president finds himself in a world of hurt. Oh, please. Really? Is he being shot at in Iraq? A world of hurt? He doesn't know what hurt is. We're in a world of hurt. And people over fighting on our behalf in Iraq are in an even greater world of hurt. A grinding and unpopular war in Iraq, a growing insurgency in Afghanistan, an impasse over Iran's nuclear ambitions, brewing war between Israel and the Palestinians, the litany of global crises would test the fortitude of any president, let alone a second-termer with an approval rating mired in Warren Hardy territory. And there is no relief in sight. So they're saying that this is the end of cowboy diplomacy. Well, I wish the cowboy would be the end of him and he'd resign. Get him out of there. Let's investigate these people. We need subpoena power. We want them out. And one of the newspapers, I think it's 800-326-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. Two more hours of Enid Live right here.
You're listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
Dr. John Sefrin of the American Cancer Society on a warning that the consequences of smoking will be far worse than they have been, and they've been pretty bad. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive has the story.
The American Cancer Society, in a book called The Cancer Atlas, says the number of deaths attributed to smoking in the 20th century was 100 million, and this century that will rise to 1 billion. Why the tenfold increase? Mainly the rise in population. In this report, the World Health Organization comments that strong anti-smoking education might prevent some of those deaths, maybe 2 million cancer deaths a year, later maybe 6 million a year. The number of people on this planet who smoke? 1.25 billion. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in the elderly, but new research finds there are factors that can raise or lower the risk.
Two of those factors are cigarette smoking, which increases the risk by almost twofold, and also a behavior that can decrease the risk, and that is eating a healthy diet, particularly one that contains omega-3 fatty acids.
Dr. Joanna Seddon of the Massachusetts Eye and Ear Infirmary. In her study of 681 elderly men, those who got the most benefit ate more fish like salmon, which is rich in omega-3 fatty acids, and ate fewer baked goods and foods cooked in vegetable oils, which have harmful omega-6 fatty acids. President Bush has yet to cast his first veto, but the time may be coming. Political adviser Karl Rove told the Denver Post editorial board today that Mr. Bush is likely to reject a Senate bill that would expand federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The president, he said, is emphatic about this. The U.N. Security Council, with the support of the Bush administration, has postponed a vote on sanctions for North Korea. China has sent a diplomatic mission to Pyongyang, and State Department spokesman Sean McCormick says they want to give that a chance.
Right now, we are focused on the diplomacy in the region. I think that that's the center of gravity right now. But at some point, if that doesn't bear fruit, then certainly the Security Council track is an option that continues to be viable.
In the 1940s and 50s, June Allison was a star of Hollywood's movie musicals.
Here is the drag. See how it goes. Down on your heels, up on your toes.
That's her in the 1947 film Good News. There's sad news now. June Allison has died after a long illness. She was 88.
There was no ambiguity about June Allison. She was the girl next door, and I think she played that role very well in the movies with a genuineness that I think was the cause of great affection among her audience.
Peter Rayner is film critic for the Christian Science Monitor. On Wall Street today, the Dow up 12 points to 11,103. The Nasdaq lost 13. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar. Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, phishing attacks, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And there's only one way to stop them. With Barracuda Network, spam, spyware, and IM firewalls. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 30,000 companies and leading universities are Barracuda Network's customers. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to BarracudaNetworks.com.
Two space shuttle astronauts made their second of three spacewalks today. CBS News correspondent Peter King followed that.
It was a mostly smooth spacewalk with a couple of rough edges, like an astronaut's emergency jetpack that became unlatched. The spacewalkers trying to wrestle a big cable reel assembly into its proper place.
There you go.
Great job, guys.
That led to this question.
Okay, what else can happen, man?
Don't ask.
Bottom line is that the cable connections look good for the rail car that'll be used to build out the station. And as for that jetpack, mission managers say it wasn't a big deal. They say a second latch did stay in place. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
The Rolling Stones resume their European tour in Italy tomorrow. It had to be postponed when 62-year-old lead guitarist Keith Richard fell out of a tree while on vacation in Fiji. He needed surgery to relieve pressure on his brain. Asked what he's done since, Richard answered, "I recovered." He said 6 weeks is not bad for a brain job. I'm Bill Whitney.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
And now, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
5:06, 6 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Congratulations to Michelle from West Sac. She won two tickets to Kris Kristofferson, but do not despair. If you are just tuning us in, you have missed Bill Maher, but we have two tickets for Bill Maher that we're going to give away sometime between now and the end of the show. So in our flea market of ideas where we're sort of paying you to listen, we're trying to. We have two tickets to give away, so don't worry about that. And we will be giving away tickets, I think not just today. I think we have more to give away as we continue this week. Coming up on Enid Live tomorrow, if you are a fan of Robert Halenga, and I don't know if he is familiar to you, but if you like mysteries, he wrote a mystery that was very successful called The 16 Pleasures. In part, it took place in Italy. And then he wrote a book that I fell in love with called The Fall of a Sparrow. He's a novelist. And he has a new book out, which I have not read, but I'm eager to, and it is called Philosophy Made Simple. So he's going to join us tomorrow. On Wednesday, two people who are very famous for hitting the road and writing about road food, Michael and Jane Stern, have a new book out called Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. And we're always interested in food around here. We're always interested in dieting, but we're always interested in taking some on and letting some off is, I guess, the best way to put that. So that's what's coming up on Enid Live. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Click on my page and you can always see who's going to be a guest on Enid Live, and you also can treat yourself to the George W. Dickey Bush resume, which, if you haven't seen it, is pretty sobering. We have been talking about many things, and as I said, Bill Maher joined us early in the broadcast, and Jeffrey Nunberg joined us later, and he's written a book on why Democrats have not been able to write a narrative as successful for themselves as Republicans have. So he's a linguist, and he's talking about the language. We've also been talking about the three questions that Bill Clinton would ask of Karl Rove if he had a chance. And one of those questions is, you know, if this administration is so interested in security, why is it spending 20 times the amount that it would take to shore up gaps in port security to repeal the estate tax for the nation's elite, which consists of less than 1% of the population? The New York Daily News thinks that we are now in World War III and that the U.S. is out of ideas, out of gas. That North Korea fires missiles, Iran talks of nukes again, Iraq carnage continues, Israel invades Gaza, England observes the one-year anniversary of the subway bombing, and oh yes, the Feds stop a plot to blow up tunnels under the Hudson River. World War III has begun. It's not perfectly clear when it started. Maybe it was after the Berlin Wall fell and the Cold War ended. Maybe it was the first bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. What is clear, the New York Daily News is writing in an editorial, is that this war has a long fuse, and while we're not in a full-scale combat phase that marked World Wars I and II, we seem to be heading there. The expanding hostilities mean it's time to give this conflict a name, one that focuses the mind and clarifies the big pictures. The feeling that the wheels are coming off the world is only one recent comparison, the time when America's headbutt with communism sprouted hotspots from Cuba to Vietnam. Yet, ultimately, the policy of mutually assured destruction worked because American and Soviet leaders did not want their countries hit by nuclear bombs. So they're saying we're in World War III. Are we in World War III? God, I hope not. But you know what? They're making a case for it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Oh, Ann Coulter. I asked Bill Maher about his friendship with Ann Coulter. he said that she's fun to gossip with, but that they never talk about politics. I didn't say this to Bill Maher to his face, but when I saw him, the last I saw him, I introduced him to a sold-out Paramount Theater audience in Denver. And if you go backstage, he was with this... Bill Maher is not that tall, I would say. Maybe about 5'8 or so. He's actually kind of tiny. And he was with... I mean, she had to be over 6 feet tall. A woman who had body parts, the likes of which... Most of which were fairly revealed, and the likes of which I think you have to pay for. I think they are engineered. By that I mean, these are not the kind that you are naturally endowed with. These are the kind that I think you pay to have done to you. I mean, she was incredible. She was tall, dusky, and about twice as tall as Bill Maher. And they were sort of hanging all over each other, but I didn't say that to him because what do I care? Anyway, I'm saying about Ann Coulter, we're calling her Coultergeist. The syndicator of her newspaper column, we reported on this about a week or so ago, that they might be looking into it. Well, now apparently they are. They're looking into allegations that she has lifted material from other sources. We're reviewing the material, and we expect to have a response sometime next week, said a spokeswoman for UPS, Universal Press Syndicate. The New York Post and Raw Story and a bunch of websites have raised numerous questions about Coulter's columns, which appear in more than 100 newspapers, and her best-selling book, Godless, already notorious for the authors calling for 9/11 widows who supported Democrat John Kerry for president as harpies thriving on their husband's demise. So there are allegations out there that Ann Coulter, Coultergeist, plagiarized this work. We're also talking about the Arco Arena. We thought that was dead. And guess what? It's come to life again. Kind of like, was it Frankenstein's monster? It's back on the table. A delegation is motating themselves to Las Vegas to meet with the Aloof Maloofs to get this going all over again. Well, that's fine. You know, if they want to have a new arena, that's really great. I don't want to pay one penny's worth of sales tax to support it. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. And only a cowtown believes that having an arena makes it a sophisticated place. That's what they try to foist on every single town where they try to get you to pay for the arena. Well, if I want to pay for anything, here's what I want to pay for. I will pay for schools. I'll definitely pay for libraries, because I think libraries are really important to a society. And certainly good schools are, and certainly good hospitals are. And some of our schools are in terrible disarray. And some of our libraries are not in great shape either. But I don't want any, I will not pay one, I do not wish to pay a fraction of a fraction of a fraction sales tax to support a new arena. I just don't. I don't think it should be a priority, and I wonder how you feel about it. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. But informal discussions, back on the table again, which means big, powerful players want this to happen, and they are going to Las Vegas to meet with the Maloofs. Let the Maloofs come back to town. What is everybody hopping on an airplane for? And what are we going to get out of this? Except I think we're going to be stuck with a big bill. And this is going to be, they're going to still try to, a last second, last ditch effort to reach an agreement to secure a ballot measure in time for the November election. The most recent proposal would require voter approval for an increase in Sacramento County sales tax. The revenue would help pay for sports entertainment complex to replace 18-year-old Arco Arena. Are there schools 18 years old that we're replacing? I don't think so. They have to be a lot older, usually, and really falling down. And then I don't think we even replace them. Do you want to spend any kind of sales tax, any sales tax increase, to support this arena? I do not. And I don't think, and if they want to get it together, fine. Let them get private monies for it. Let them have private financing. Why should we support it? I don't get that part. I don't know what we get out of it. And why it's worth a sales tax increase. I don't want to spend one penny on supporting the Arco Arena, a new arena for Sacramento. I don't, what will it be called? Will it still be called Arco? Or will it be the Aloof Maloof Arena? 349-1320. You tell me what your position is on this. And has anybody seen, Oh, and I have to talk about this as well. Has anybody seen Sympathy for the Devil? I mean, the devil. Sorry, not Sympathy for the Devil. The Devil Wears Prada. Has anybody seen it? What do you think about it? I loved it, and I particularly that portrayal that Meryl Streep did of supposedly of Anna Wintour, who is the editor of Vogue magazine, who everybody calls behind her back Nuclear Wintour because she's so cold and hostile and nasty. And talking about that, there are a couple of columns, one in the New York Times. The devil, you know, the book is called The Devil Wears Prada, made into the film The Devil Wears Prada. But the writer in this piece in the New York Times is saying, you know, Anna Wintour has been a really, really, really successful editor. And she has been indomitable. Somebody, she was sitting in a fancy restaurant, somebody dropped a dead raccoon on her plate at the Four Seasons in New York. As a protest against, they show a lot of furs in Vogue magazine. And now, what would you do if you're sitting in the Four Seasons restaurant and somebody dumped a dead raccoon in your plate? Would you screech? Would you jump up? What would you do if that happened to you? I'm asking this question as an anti. You know what she did? She calmly tented it with a napkin. She took a napkin and she just calmly put it over before she ordered coffee. Somebody else flung a tofu pie at her and she remarked upon its benefits as a facial. And when she satirized on the big screen, she goes to the premiere and treats it as a joke. Now you got to hand it to her. 349-1320. Let's head over to the phones and, Greg in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Welcome.
Edith?
Yes, Enid.
Yeah,
it's Enid. I'm going to spell my name for you. E-N-I-D, Enid.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
I agree 100% on the arena. I don't think we should spend one dime on the taxpayers spend one dime on the arena.
I agree with you.
Because it's not educating people. It's only for entertainment.
Well, if they want to put it up, fine. But I don't want to support it. Let them get private monies for it.
Exactly. Let the private entities pay for it, and we tend to have to pay a dime.
I'm with you, Greg. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Ron in Fresno. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Of course, what happens when somebody plops a dead raccoon down on the plate is you send it back and say, "I ordered medium." Thank you. But anyway, about Rovism.
That's good.
About Rovism.
Uh-huh.
You recall back in 2004 in the presidential debates, John Kerry was spot on with his answers to the questions, and of course Dickey was significantly less so. And you know, you look at what you were talking about with Karl Rove and Rovisms. And you realize how long it took you to get through the three questions that Bill Clinton would ask Karl Rove, and then you look at the Rovisms of weapons of mass, WMDs, and cut and run. What I think Rove has done has correctly interpreted society right now in that it's a society that cannot handle a long, drawn-out, complex answer to a long, drawn-out, complex.
Well, what he does
question.
Is he gives you a soundbite. That's what he gives you, and he gives you a soundbite that's nasty and delineates the situation on his own terms, and that's it. And that's what he does, and he does it brilliantly. You got to hand it to him.
There's no question about that. Regardless of the truthfulness of it. He comes out with it, and as you pointed out, correctly so, that the right-wing propagandists out there are all in lockstep.
And this is the other thing, and I forgot to say it today, but everybody listening, I encourage you to tell three of your friends every single day, or four, maybe I'm going to up the ante to four or five friends every day, that AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel exists, because 99.9% of talk radio is conservative, it's Republicans, it's excreting all the Republican, the RNC talking points every day, Rush does it, they're all getting their marching orders from the White House, and they march. And really, people who don't read the newspaper, which apparently is a lot more of us than it used to be, think that this is the gospel. They think that what they're hearing on talk radio, a Republican talk radio, conservative talk radio, is the gospel, and we all know it's not. Ron, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. Southbound 99, slow traffic, 12th to Florin Road. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to Northgate. Eastbound Capital City Freeway, slow from E Street to Cal Expo. Then again at the split. Southbound I-5, slow traffic from J Street to downtown. It is currently 88 degrees in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Live and local, it's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's All That Biz with Jim Jacoby on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Brought to you by Metro PCS. Here's Jim.
Good afternoon, everyone. Well, the major averages finished mixed on Wall Street today as an early advance just completely dissipated. Weakness in semiconductor stocks weighed down the NASDAQ. EMC became the latest computer-related company to issue a warning about second-quarter earnings. Shares fell 77 cents to $10.41. Intel closed down 38 cents at 18.18 on concerns the chip industry may suffer from overshipping. Drug retailers were among today's best performers. CVS gained 85 cents to $31.31 after reporting second quarter sales rose nearly 16%. Walgreens was up 88 cents at $46.73. In the day's loan economic report, May wholesale inventories rose 0.8%, which is more than expected. Inventories remain very lean, but they still could become excessive if consumer demand slows too rapidly. KB Home fell 64 cents to $45.12 as the company warned a negative housing trend is possible into the next year. The Dow closed up 12 at 11,103. S&P gained 1 point. The NASDAQ finished down 13. Oil was down for the third straight day. August crude oil closed down $1.13 at $72.96. Gold also was down $8.70 at $6.26.10. 10-year Treasury note was flat for a yield of 5.13. And that's it for today's reporting. This is Teresa Goldsmith sitting in for vacationing Jim Jacoby and A.G. Edwards for 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
All That Biz with Jim Jacoby is heard every weekday on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel and is brought to you by Metro PCS. Permission to speak freely. And left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five 24 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, beginning the week with a bang. We had Bill Maher on to start the show. And do you know that Bill Maher and Keith Olbermann went to high school together? Isn't that a pair that Well, you know, maybe it does make sense that they are together forever. 349-1320, we're talking about all kinds of things as usual. Our flea market of ideas here. Do you know that Tom DeLay could be headed back to the House? Apparently, Time Magazine's reporting that he's planning an aggressive campaign to retake the House seat he quit in June if an appeals court let stand a ruling by a federal judge last week that his name must stay on November's ballot, even though he has moved to Virginia. Rather like Deep Doolittle, who isn't here either, but who's running for office. Anybody who's conservative, Republican, right-wing, if you are listening, we want to hear from you on these issues. 349-1320. We're talking also about the arena. That has come to life again, public financing of a new arena. I don't want to spend one penny on it. They want to do it, fine, be my guest, but get arranged for private monies. 349-1320 or 866-626. 1320. Chris in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. I agree with you. One tax dollar going to the arena. Let Sacramento be one city that doesn't pay for their sports entertainment. They should take it out of the $20 million that they pay the players per season.
$20 million? How much? You know, I'm sort of like... I'm kind of a sports dope, but how many of them are making $20 million?
Well, so the basketball players are...
Not every single one of them.
No, not every single one of them, but I think that a lot of them are just overpaid.
Oh, no kidding. Now, how can you say that? When teachers are making $60,000 a year, how can you say that a basketball player making $20 million is overpaid, Chris?
Oh, my God.
How can you say that with a straight face, huh?
Because I hope you're kidding.
I am kidding.
Oh, okay.
Well, I am. Oh, maybe the basketball player, because it's so much fun to play basketball and so tough to teach, maybe the basketball player should be making $60,000 a year and the teacher should be making $20 million a year.
And they'd probably play better.
Yes, they might play better. They might play it in a more passionate way instead of it's just like, oh, well. And how much is that per game? How many games they do in a season?
I don't know, but I have never paid for a game. I've always, you know, gotten it through my employer or whatever. But I can't imagine forking out $100 to go see a game.
How much does it cost to go to see a game, to see the Kings play?
An average
ticket price. I imagine it doesn't. Aren't the tickets priced depending on where the seats are?
Yeah, and I think they're between $35 and on up to hundreds of dollars. And then, you know, you go there and beer is $10 and, you know, all of that.
And how much is a hot dog? They have sushi there at the Arco Arena?
I don't think so.
But they have sushi. I think they have sushi at Pac Bell Park, or if it's still called Pac Bell Park, as maybe they call it something else now.
Is it called Monster Park now or something like that?
I don't know. I can't keep it straight. You know what? Why don't they just sell the name of Sacramento to the highest bidder? You know, you have Indiana that is selling its toll roads. Everybody wants to privatize everything. And I guarantee you these companies standing up to pay for these zillions of dollars in order to buy the toll roads must think they're going to make a big profit off of it. So why are we selling off our public assets? I think that if we've got Arco Arena and it was Pac Bell Park, who knows what it's called now, we've got to have a name for Sacramento. We just auction it off to the highest bidder.
Exactly.
Maybe. Who would it be? I wonder who would step up for the name.
Maybe Sleep Train.
Oh, Chris, you are so mean. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sleep Train? Oh, no. All right, this is a development in the culture, and you know us. We're always looking. We always have our Eagle Beagle eyes out looking for developments in the culture. Well, here it is. At colleges, women are leaving men in the dust. Yes, indeedy. Here's the story. The guys are going to school. I don't know if they're going to school in slightly lower numbers than the girls than the women. And their grades are worse. So here it is. In two national studies, college men reported that they studied less and socialized more than their female classmates. It is not that men, they're saying, are in a downward spiral. They are going to college in greater numbers and are more likely to graduate than two decades ago. Still, men now only make up 42% of the nation's college students, and with sex discrimination fading and their job opportunities widening, women are coming on much stronger, often leapfrogging the men to the academic finish. The boys are about where they were 30 years ago, but the girls are just on a tear, doing much, much better, said a senior scholar at an institute that studies higher education. The women, the girls are on a tear. The boys are just stagnating. There are women, for the first time, I believe there are more women at Harvard. For the first time, the class we just admitted, said a spokesman, said the dean of admissions at Harvard, will be 52% female. At Brown University, men made up not quite 40% of this year's applicants, but 47% of those admitted. Women now outnumber men 2-1 at places like State University of New York at New Paltz, the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, Baltimore City Community College, and they make up particularly large majorities among older students. The lower the family income, the greater the disparity between men and women attending college. And the men, the guys, really don't want to study too much. They want to look like, I guess, here's what many male students say something resembling pride, say with something resembling pride, that they can get by without much studying. If I take a class and never study, I can still get a B, said one 22-year-old student at the University of North Carolina. I know that if I'd applied myself, I would have had better grades. On each campus, many young men concluded that the easy B was good enough. But on each campus, some had seen that attitude backfire. One student came in, he said, I came in with the attitude I'd had in high school. That's a big thing for guys, is to give the appearance of not doing much work, trying to excel at sports and shine socially, said the student. It's like some cultural ADD for boys, I think. But he said, for men, it's just not cool to study. So, when he no longer had parents and teachers keeping after him or a 10:30 p.m. lights out rule, he didn't do much work. He said, I stayed in my room a lot, I slept a lot, and I messed up so much that I had to go to summer school. He said, but I'm back on track now. Isn't this interesting? What does this mean, that the girls are on a tear in college? I'll tell you what I think it means, and you can tell me what you think it means. You still are looking at discrepancies in salaries. Girls make less than boys. Women make less than men. They're paid about, what, 73% of what a man makes. And here are girls who've decided that if they're going to get anywhere in life, they better step on the gas. And they're doing it. And I think it's even more than simply deciding to step on the gas. I think they realize, I think they're just fired up and passionate. And they are going to town. Those women are on a tear. And the men are kind of stagnating, and they're happy to get the easy B. And you know what? Even when they get the easy B, they're going to make more money. If this all holds up, women are still going to only make 73% of the guy making the easy B. But here's my fundamental question. The girls are going to town, and they're knocking the guys out on this one. And my question is, where are the men? What has happened to the men? They're not men anymore. Are they? Maybe they're drinking. I don't know. They're socializing. They're playing football. And a lot of these colleges, because they're having a hard time attracting men, they're starting football teams. So the guys who are the easy B guys, who are happy to have a football, you know, they want to go there for the football. It has been a magnet for guys. So you got to give them football, and then you got to give them beer. And then maybe classwork is like number 4 or 5 on the list. What do you think? So what does it say about our males? And what does it say about masculinity? And what does it say? Here is what, was it Bella Abzug or Gloria Steinem? Gloria Steinem said, we have become, one of those two, said, we have become the men that we wanted to marry. Oh, my goodness. Is this true? The girls are going to town in college, and the boys are stagnating. What are your thoughts? And if you're in the educational system, if you're a teacher, a professor, an observer, a student, I want to hear from you on this. 349-1320 or 866-620-1320. You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. Westbound 50, slow traffic from 65th to downtown. Southbound 99, slow traffic at 12th and then to Florin Road. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to North Gate. Eastbound Cap City Freeway, slow to E Street, then to Cal Expo, again at the split. Southbound I-5, slow traffic from J Street to downtown. Currently, it is 88 degrees in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
If loving Enid is wrong, we don't want to be right. AM 1320.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
And the Republicans are crowing about this. See? The 2003 tax cut on stock dividends and all that, that has spurred the American way. Now we're bragging that we're spending only $300 billion more than we're taking in. That would be the soft bigotry of low expectations.
They've cut back on social services for people that usually don't have a voice, such as elders, poor people. But this,
and it was surprisingly easy to do it.
Isn't it, though?
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hey, Claire Watkins.
Good evening. I would like to report on the state of our war against the American people. We're mounting a sustained campaign to crack down on every American and every person of every faith and every nation and to bring them to justice. All missions are being executed according to plan without warning or provocation. Americans are being swept up in an international dragnet. Thousands of FBI agents are on the trail of other citizens here and abroad. It has everything to do with hate and evil and murder and prejudice. America is strong, strong, strong.
Federal agents, we are armed!
Sacramento's Left Channel.
Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Well, this is what we're talking about, is that women have left men behind in terms of colleges. The enrollments are greater for women. They're doing better in terms of grades. They're on a tear, and men are stagnating. What does that mean? What is that telling us about the culture? What's it telling us about guys? They're happy with the easy B. Easy, in other words, the easy grade of B, and they're not. It's not cool for a guy to study, I guess. And women still get only 73% of what a man makes. So if a man makes a dollar with his easy B, and fewer of them are going to college, they might be in more demand, rarer, and they're going to make a buck. And a woman who has done well, stepped on the gas, gotten honors awards, she's going to get 73 cents. 349-1320. What does this mean, and where are the men? How come the men aren't acting like men? Beth in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello.
Hi, Beth. Welcome.
Oh, hi. I wanted to talk about Arco Arena. I think not one thin dime for a new arena would be a great bumper sticker. And there are a number of reasons why I wouldn't vote for it.
Why? Tell me.
One of them is that there are many more pressing things that we need to take care of, real things. Like
What could be more?
Air, streets, schools,
yeah.
All sorts of things. And another one is that the majority of the people who would attend any of the affairs there, games, concerts, whatever, they would be taxed. The majority of people who will be taxed will not be able to go there.
Why? Why?
Because it's so expensive to get the tickets and the parking and so on. And another thing is that people forget, the promoters of this tax forget that the city has been very good to the kings and to the monarchs. And they keep talking about how good the kings are to us. Well, I beg to differ that. Without such an enthusiastic crowd here in Sacramento, they would not be as successful as they are.
Well, you know, here's my thought. If they want to put up an arena, great. But let them pay for it. Let them get the private monies to do it. I'm sure there are a lot of people who would sign on. I'm sure that if it's that great a deal, everybody will be just happy to make a profit at it.
Let the users pay for it. All of this time, they could be tacking an extra dollar on the tickets to go there for the sports enthusiasts who go there, and tack an extra dollar onto the parking or whatever they want to do to raise the money for the people who will use it. Another thing that I don't like is that the Maloofs are so high-handed. One thing that they do you remember the article in the paper a month or so ago about the charges they levied on SMUD for SMUD's advertising, some program they had? Hundreds of thousands of dollars for 30-second spots during the games and for a night out in special boxes at the games for welfare workers who were entered into some contest to get more people to sign up for the SMUD low-income program.
Okay.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. This was a big article in the Sacramento Bee. Contrast that to what they've done in a South Sacramento library. They donated, the Maloofs Foundation donated about 14 computers to the library. This is Sacramento Public Library.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but in turn, and those computers probably cost about $15,000.
Okay.
They're not the high quality that the library gets itself, for one thing. So in turn for that, the library administration allowed the Maloofs to come in and turn a large section of that library into what looks like a mini Arco arena. They took a perfectly good natural block wall. This is city property now.
Is this a permanent thing or a temporary installation?
Well, they painted the wall permanently. And there were no plans to take it down until some of us started protesting.
Now, wait a minute. So what did the Maloofs do in the library? They took over one whole section and did what? Turned it into what, a sports center, or what did they do?
It's the computer center. They call it, there were already some computers in the library.
Mm-hmm. So they spent
12 by 24 alcove in the library where they installed these new computers that were donated by the Maloofs. And anytime they install computers, they call it the Sacramento Kings and Monarchs Reading and Learning Center.
All right, so for $15,000, they bought a commercial.
Absolutely.
Which is $15,000 is so nothing for the price of a commercial. If you remember what TV ads go for,
yes.
For large events, they got so much for their measly $15,000.
They did. And they installed this the end of December in a rush job so that they could get their tax write-off for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been up since the end of December. Even though some of us have been protesting and the library administration finally said it's going to come down, but they are dragging their feet. I don't know what kind of arrangement they have with the Maloofs. I don't know why they feel the Maloofs have a hold over them, because at each step they have to go in the changes that are proposed. to take down this advertisement. At each step, they have to go back to the Maloofs and get their okay for it.
You're kidding! Like for just to take down the thing at every step,
that's right.
for that measly $15,000. The library. It sounds like the library whored itself out.
It did. It did. They see the Maloofs coming. They fall out on their back. And I have to say more, but I won't to that image.
I mean, they fall down.
At city expense.
They fall down on their back.
They have to repaint that wall.
Oh. And how much does it cost to repaint the wall?
They won't say.
They won't even say
how much it costs to the library to have the computers installed, because they had to do the wiring, they had to update them, and
so the library paid for that, or did the Maloof contribution?
No, the library paid for that, but I can't get that information out of them.
And what was displaced from what did actual books exist in that place where now the Maloof area, the Arco, the little Arco Arena in the library exists? Is this in the main library?
The branch library in South Sacramento, the Martin Luther King Library.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And the big sign that they have in there that says Sacramento Kings and Monarch Learning and Reading Center, which doesn't mean anything, because I asked the head librarian, and she said, well, it doesn't mean anything here. They don't have any special programs on the computer, Reading and Learning Center. But that sign is bigger than the name of Martin Luther King, for whom the library was named, anywhere in the building or outside the building.
Oh, Beth, this is so juicy.
On top of that, they have no documentation of this transaction.
What do you mean no documentation of this
transaction? No records of an agreement between the Maloofs and the library for donating these computers, or for decorating the library the way
Well, wait a minute. This is a public facility. Isn't this all public, supposed to be public information?
I know.
Well, let's see if we can find out something about this. Does anybody know about this? There's no agreement. Why would there not be any kind of a written agreement? And since they seem to have to go back, there must be some agreement somewhere, because they can't blink their eyes without getting permission from the Maloofs to do it.
That's right. That's right, but it all seems to be verbal. I had a meeting with the head of the Sacramento Public Library.
Do you work at the library?
No, I'm a longtime volunteer and supporter of the library, so I don't have a beef with the library. I've always loved libraries, but mm-hmm. I think they should be treated with respect and not be intruded upon by corporate interest in this way.
Well, there isn't this interesting, and it's such a small one thing. If they had really given a huge amount, but they gave the minimum that they could really give, and try to take the maximum for it. So you know what?
Right.
Maybe that tells us a lot about the Maloofs.
Absolutely.
That they will take as much. You know, they'll give you a little bit, but they're going to take a lot. Mm-hmm. And here is a whole delegation going hat in hand to sit at their feet and get them to agree to something or other. Forget it.
Going to them. And then one of the Maloofs was quoted in the paper today as saying, well, we'll just get it on the ballot, and as soon as we get it on the ballot, then we'll explain the details. You just have to trust us.
Oh, please. Trust but verify. Oh, Beth, I am delighted that you called in. Thank you for the information.
You are welcome.
And if anybody knows anything about what's been going on, if this is the Martin Luther King branch in West Sac.
South Sac.
We want to hear what this was all about. Beth, I'm delighted that you called, and thanks very much for keeping us posted.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel, and you can join the conversation at 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. What we've been talking about is the arena, which has come to life again, public financing of the arena. Forget it. They want a new arena. If Sacramento wants a new arena, that's fine. Let private monies pay for it. I do not want to be charged one single penny in sales tax to pay for this arena. And then you just heard a story from somebody who's a big supporter of libraries, and particularly in the Martin Luther King branch, saying what happened there. And then what we're also talking about is colleges and how the women are going to town in colleges. They are enrolling in record numbers. For the first time, Harvard is 52% female this year. And the women are getting great grades, and the guys are just kind of stagnating. They don't want to work too hard. It's not too cool if they work too hard. And still, when they graduate, they'll be in such short supply, they'll still get a dollar, and a woman will still get 73 cents on the dollar as a salary. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Ian. Let's take a look at traffic out there. Westbound 50, slow traffic from 65th to downtown. Southbound 99, slow traffic 12th to Florin Road. Eastbound 80, got slow traffic there from downtown to Northgate. Eastbound Cap City Freeway, slow from E Street to Cal Expo, then again at the split. Southbound I-5, slow traffic from J Street to downtown. And currently it is 88 degrees in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Want to make every penny...
Messages.
Of course, we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, Bin Laden. He's. Let me say, I certainly hope so. Before I.
If you send messages.
That's a loaded question. First of all, I admire Senator Kerry's service to our country.
If you send messages.
I admire the fact that he is a great dad. We're facing
If you send messages.
Let me finish. And so the answer to your question is, no doubt about it, it's tough. It's hard work.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five 52 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We have had quite a day today. We've had, we started out the broadcast with Bill Maher. And we had a linguist, Jeffrey Nunberg, who's written a really wonderful book on how the conservatives have really corralled the language, and Democrats have been so wussy, so feckless with the language. And what he really said was that the Republicans have created a narrative that resonates, and Democrats have been afraid to. Isn't that interesting? We're afraid to say what we are and what we stand for, which I think is I'm so surprised at that, because Democrats have nothing to be embarrassed about. We're also talking about the ARCO Arena, which has come back to life, and a delegation is getting on an airplane and going to Las Vegas to sit at the feet of the Maloofs to try to work something out so that the arena will go onto the ballot in November. I hope it doesn't happen. I don't want to see public financing of it. I'm sorry. I really would like to see if Sacramento feels it needs an arena for any number of reasons, that's fine. Get the private monies together. Why do we have to pay for it? And I would be interested to hear. I mean, so far, judging from the calls that have come in anytime we have talked about this, it's more no's than yeses, but maybe that's just Maybe just our audience is more on the no side than on the yes side. We've also talked about the New York Daily News, an editorial that says it thinks we are in World War III. Hard to know when it began, but with everything going on all over the world, it looks like that's what's happening. And Bill Clinton at the Aspen Institute saying the three questions that he would ask Karl Rove if he had the chance to do it. The first question he would ask is, what would Rove do had a Clinton senior advisor blown the cover of a CIA agent who happened to be married to the man who refused to falsify findings about nuclear transactions taking place between Niger and Iraq? And he wondered whether Rove would instruct Republican congressmen to call a White House official who would do such a thing a traitor, and that would be Dick Cheney. And finally, Clinton wanted to know, why is it that if the Bush administration is as concerned with national security as it claims to be, why would it spend 20 times the amount of money it would take to shore up gaps in port security, to repeal the estate tax for the nation's elite, which consists of less than 1% of the population? Aren't those great questions? He should be the one concocting the narrative for the Democrats, because he asks very good questions that not enough Democrats are asking, but which many of us are hungry for people to be asking. We are also talking about colleges, and this is a phenomenon, and I don't know what it says about boys and girls, I don't know what it says about men and women, but at colleges, women are leaving men in the dust. They are enrolling in greater numbers than men are, they are getting much better grades than men are, they are leapfrogging over the men, and yet, when they graduate, probably there'll be so few male graduates, there'll be an even greater supply, and they'll get even more than be paid the dollar that women will only get 73% of. Where are the men? Where, you know, they are hiding out. I don't know if it's feminism, I don't know what it is that has scared them, but they are hiding in the bushes with the Democrats. At moments like when Russ Feingold steps up to the plate and says, we ought to censure Dickey, the Democrats headed for the hills, they hid in the bushes, and that's where the men were. The men are hiding in the bushes. Please prove me wrong on this. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Okay, in our flea market of ideas, you may have tuned in too late to hear Bill Maher, but you can catch him Sunday. On July the 23rd, he will be appearing in Sacramento at 8 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater. And I have two tickets to give away to Bill Maher. And here is the catch. You got to pick him up in person right here at 5345 Madison Avenue. We cannot send them to you. So I'm going to open up the lines. You be the fourth caller, 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. You be the fourth caller, and you will get two tickets to Bill Maher Sunday, July 23rd, 8 o'clock at the Sacramento Community Theater. I imagine these are pretty, and they're orchestra seats, I want to tell you. Orchestra seats, and you have to pick them up here at 5345 Madison Avenue. I'm sure we have a winner. I'm pretty sure we do. Prizes are available between Monday and Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You have to present a valid ID to claim the prize, and one winner per household every 30 days. Prize is non-transferable, and no substitute prize is offered. So if you're allergic to Bill Maher,
listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fish is supposed to be brain food, but new research says it's also good for the eyes. CBS's Dr. Malika Marshall says two new studies have identified important risk factors in the leading cause of blindness among the elderly.
People who smoke are at a much higher risk of developing macular degeneration, and now it looks as though people who eat a diet rich in omega-3 fatty acids, in particular fish, are actually at a lower risk of developing macular degeneration.
Speaking of smoking, there's a startling warning today. CBS News correspondent Sharon Alfonso has that.
Public health officials announced today tobacco could kill a billion people this century, 10 times the toll it took in the 20th century, and that the number of teenagers smoking is again on the rise.
We have a train wreck that's not waiting to happen.
John Seffrin heads the American Cancer Society. It's the first time in a decade the number of teen smokers grew, from about 21% in 2003 to 23% in 2005.
In the past 5 years, the amount of money tobacco companies spend on advertising has tripled. Experts point to a decline in anti-smoking efforts and an increase in smoking in the movies. Massachusetts today joined Vermont, New York, and California in requiring self-extinguishing cigarettes. They have special paper that's designed to go out when not being puffed to help prevent fires. A federal judge in Washington says the Justice Department is free to use material seized from Congressman William Jefferson's office in May. The Louisiana Democrat is the target of a bribery investigation. Outraged congressional leaders said the FBI overstepped its bounds by executing a search warrant on Capitol Hill, but Judge Thomas Hogan, who signed the warrant, ruled today that the search was legal. At least 15 people were injured in New York this morning, too seriously, when a four-story building on Manhattan's exclusive Upper East Side blew up.
I never heard such an explosion. Tremendous explosion.
Authorities say it was a gas explosion, possibly triggered by the building's owner, Dr. Nicholas Bartha. He was pulled from the debris badly hurt. Last week, a judge awarded the building to Bartha's wife as part of a divorce settlement. He sent her a threatening email talking suicide and saying, "You will be transformed from gold digger to ash and rubble digger."
The moon belongs to everyone.
Singer, dancer, actress June Allison, who starred in movie musicals, died over the weekend at her home in Southern California. She was 88.
June Allison typified probably the 1950s, late 40s image of the blonde, suburban, perky little housewife.
Professor Tom Gunning's at the University of Chicago's School of Cinema and Media. Allison once described her screen appeal this way: "Women identify with me, and while men desire Sid Charisse, they'd take me home to meet Mom." The Dow up 12 points today. This is CBS News.
To add some prestige to the pursuit of driving pleasure, the Michelin Man is attempting to establish a master's degree program in driver's ed. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn why the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series Touring Tires is the ultimate study aid for those seeking to graduate to a higher level of driving. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations: everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Italy's first World Cup championship in 24 years brought out a huge crowd in Rome today. CBS News reporter Sabina Castelfranco was there.
The celebrations with the Italian soccer champions was taking place at Rome Circus Maximus. The crowd went crazy when the Italian team arrived, holding the long-awaited World Cup. Italian flags were everywhere. Italy is proud of this team, and the fans turned out in huge numbers to show the Italian team they were the best and deserve this victory. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
Entertainer Kinky Friedman, an independent candidate for governor of Texas, will be listed as Kinky on the ballot. That ruling today from Secretary of State Roger Williams, who at the same time denied a request from independent Carol Keaton Strayhorn to be listed as Grandma. Strayhorn bills herself as one tough grandma, but Williams says that's a slogan. Richard Friedman, on the other hand, is widely known as kinky. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Six minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to hour 4 of the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours from 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation in a variety of ways. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. And I just got a great email from Jenna. She said, of course, the Republicans came up with cut and run. George W. Dickey Bush did this when he ran from completing his tour of duty. Bush did a cut and run. Oh, Jenna. Oh. And also, we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. If you ever want to know what we have cooking for the week, you can just go to my, click on Enid Live, and there you have my webpage, and it is usually, we try to keep it up to date as possible. And tomorrow we're going to be joined by a novelist that I like him a lot, Robert Halenga. Well, I liked his first book, the first book of his that I read, The 16 Pleasures, I liked it, but I really fell in love with the book that followed it, The Fall of a Sparrow. I thought that was such a fantastic book, and in some ways it picked up some of the themes of the first book, but it also takes place in, and I don't know if he did this on purpose, in my hometown. There's a little, one little section of, just one page. Anyway, he's going to be joining us. He has a brand new novel out called Philosophy Made Simple, Robert Halenga. And Wednesday, two people you've probably heard about, read about, they have specialized in road food, and they're not anorexic looking, believe me. Michael and Jane Stern, they have a new book out, Two for the Road, Our Love Affair with American Food. So they're going to be joining us on Wednesday. Our usual potpourri of ideas, you never know what might happen, who might stop by when they're in the neighborhood, and you never know what to expect around here. It is a flea market, but I hope it's a flea market that you enjoy. I'm enjoying doing it. I have got to. I saw this and I said, I've got to talk about this. There is a producer whose name, a record producer in the music business. His name is Dallas Austin. You maybe heard about his situation, and you have a lot of. He's in jail, and he's in jail in Dubai, and he has produced hits for people like Madonna, Janet Jackson. And people of that caliber. And the reason that he is in jail, and he's worked with people like Lionel Richie and Quincy Jones and on and on. And you've got a conservative, Orrin Hatch, or as I like to refer to him, Orrin Hatchett, pulling the strings to try to get Dallas Austin out of jail in Dubai. Well, why is this music producer, Dallas Austin, in jail in Dubai? Well, it happens that he had about a gram of cocaine with him when he tried to enter this country. I mean, how smart do you have to be to try to enter a country like this with a gram of cocaine in your pocket? I mean, how smart is it? If all these friends of his in high places are not successful in pulling strings, he could have been in the pokey for about 4 years. I mean, you know what? I would say just let him sit there because he's too dumb to breathe. That's it. I don't care. This involved multiple ambassadors, a prime minister, a prince, Lionel Richie, the senator, and religious leaders in Atlanta. Dubai is one of the seven emirates, and there were just a lot of people. And there was one firm the senator himself, Orrin Hatch, made about $40,000 in income from music publishing. What did he do? Didn't he write a song or perform on a song or something like that? But the Dubai government finally sprung him. But he would have been looking at about 4 years in the pokey He's in his 30s. He had been sentenced to 4 years in prison for carrying just over a gram of cocaine with him when he entered the country to attend a birthday celebration for model Naomi Campbell. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. On the IQ index, is he above or below room temperature? 349, 1320, or 866, 626, 1320. I mean, to try to get into Dubai with a gram of cocaine in your pocket, what could he have been thinking, if anything? Clearly, he must have been on cocaine, or he might have realized that this wasn't the smartest thing that he could ever do. Religion in the classroom. Bill Maher believes that religion is a disease. He thinks that, he is, having grown up with a Jewish mother and a Catholic father, he has no good thing to say. He's equally insulting to all religions. And he views it as pretty much an affliction. He thinks it's a disease that prevents you from thinking, that its main job is to keep you from thinking. Well, it is about faith. And I bring this up because here's what you have going on now. You have the tyranny of the right wing. There is a Christian group becoming a major force in major legal battles. And these battles include preserving a 29-foot war memorial shaped like a cross that should be allowed to remain on public land, that a teacher should be able to emphasize references to God in the Declaration of Independence, that protesters should be permitted to approach women near the doors of an abortion clinic. These courtroom fights and dozens of others pending across the country belong to the portfolio of the ambitious Alliance Defense Fund. It is a socially conservative legal consortium, and it spends about $20 million a year seeking to protect what it regards as the place of religion, especially Christianity, in public life. It considers itself the antithesis of the ACLU. This is the group that successfully challenged the issuance of same-sex marriage licenses in California and Oregon and worked on statewide ballot initiatives prohibiting such unions. Its attorneys helped the Boy Scouts win approval of a policy barring gay scout leaders. They also bar gay scouts. I would not give a penny to the Boy Scouts. And any kind of special relationship and any kind of public funding that they might have been entitled to, and even if they still are, they shouldn't be. Because of their stance on not allowing gay scout leaders and not allowing gay kids into the Boy Scouts. 349-1320. Oh, by the way, I want to congratulate Ray for winning the Bill Maher tickets on July 23rd. And we will, I think, have some more tickets to give away. Not today, but as the program continues. But you know, you can still listen just because you're not going to win a ticket today. We still are going to have fascinating things to say. Don't you go anywhere. Anyhow, Barry Lynn, who is executive director of Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, say these people are not for any form of generic religious freedom. They are for Christian superiority, and they are working under the radar, well, under the popular culture kind of radar. And they're becoming more prominent. I think a lot of us simply didn't realize that they were there doing what they're doing, becoming the antithesis, the right-wing antithesis of the ACLU, arguing against all kinds of things and for certain things. Now, here's the interesting thing about right-wing wackos. They want to keep you, they don't trust you to know what you should and shouldn't watch, what you should and shouldn't do. They want to make everything a law, and that you're not supposed to be able to break the law. In other words, if there's something objectionable on TV, instead of trusting that if that doesn't work, this is why God invented the on-off switch, they're going to legislate against having anything like that on television. So when it comes to gay marriage, they're going to be right in there challenging the issuance of same-sex marriage licenses in California. What do they care? How is marriage challenged if somebody who's gay decides to get married? And what if a gay Muslim man, and this is happening, indulges in a marriage, wants to embark on a marriage of convenience, which they're calling MOCs, with a gay Muslim woman? They can have children but never have sex together and have and present a conventional face to the community. This group that is trying to bring the church to the courtroom has been battling embryonic stem cell research in Missouri, And it won a Supreme Court stay preventing the removal of California's 29-foot Mount Soledad cross. In Florida, where saving the life of brain-damaged Terri Schiavo became a crusade, the group supported efforts to nourish her. What we're really trying to do is to protect the things that this country was founded on, said a prominent Christian conservative. But what they're really for is Christian dominance. Not just simply bringing God into the classroom. Here's the thing. You can always bring God into whatever you can pray wherever you are. You can pray in the classroom. You can pray in traffic, which is probably where you need your most prayers. You can pray in the workplace. You can always pray quietly, silently. So I don't understand what this is all about. Why they are trying to manipulate. And here's what Bill Clinton said, that this is a very narrow slice. But it is the base of the Republican Party. It's a very narrow slice of who America is. But it is who the Republican Party plays to. It's who dictates what the Republican Party stands for. And these are people who are trying to hijack the public arena from the rest of us. And so this, I think we really have to be vigilant here. Because you know what? We're just like all these other countries that have had centuries of religious fighting. And that's what we are becoming. All right, here's an example. Here's a guy who, when he saw the mannequins in a Macy's department store window celebrating Gay Pride Week, this guy, Brian Kamenker, and other activists, posted a photo of the window on their blog, and they encouraged supporters to call Macy's to protest. Within days, Macy's had removed the mannequins but left up a list of Pride Week's events. So this group, they're going after anybody who is gay. They're the fringe of the fringe, and they look at more gay websites than anybody who could be gay. And they are just obsessed. They're gay obsessed, and they want to pull any references to being gay from any part of America. So here is Pride Week, Gay Pride Week going on, and this was in Boston. And Macy's did a window for Gay Pride Week, and these guys put it up on these cultural warriors who are anti-gay, put it up on their blog, and within days, Macy's got very scared, apparently, and pulled out the mannequins, but left up a schedule of Pride Week's events. So this is what you've got going on. This is what you have with the religious wrong, these fundamentalists who want to, you know, you have the government truncating your civil rights, and now you have the fundamentalists coming in, and anything we've got left, they want to put a stop to it as well. 349-1320. And 866-626-1320. Ray in Vacaville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
My comment on religion, and I've used this argument in discussing things with the Jehovah's Witnesses, amongst others, is that religion is for the people that are incapable of being moral without the threat of punishment and the reward of heaven.
Say that again. That's really a great line. Did you come up with that line yourself?
I did.
Say it again. I think that's really quite good.
That religion is necessary for the people that are not that can't live a moral and civil life without the promise of a reward or the threat of a punishment.
So you got to have a law about it.
Well,
you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. If you don't, and since they don't trust that people will do the right thing, they're going to try and prohibit it legally.
Yes.
They're going to prohibit if they're anti-gay marriage, if they are anti-stem cell research, if they're anti-gay kids in the Boy Scouts, instead of letting things take their... Now, these are the people who are always in favor of the free market. Have I got that right?
Supposedly. But
when it comes to you making decisions in this free market of ideas, that's a whole other story.
Well, the free market thing is a whole other story. It's like the arena that they're for the free market, except when it's government support of corporations.
Oh, is that it?
Obviously.
Well, here's what Bill Maher has to say. He says that he thinks that Christians and others who are religious suffer from a neurological disorder that stops people from thinking. He said, we are a nation that's unenlightened because of religion.
And my point would be that it's not necessarily that it stops them from thinking, but it's the only way they can be moral people.
Well said, Ray. Excellent. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Alice, calling from Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Alice?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention the sales tax is one of the most regressive taxes that there is. It hits poor people harder than it does rich people. And I have trouble understanding why poor people should have to subsidize that damn Arco Arena. I don't think we need it. And Ronald Reagan was the one that said we need a user tax. People that use it ought to pay for it, and I'm for that.
I'm with you, and it is a tremendously regressive tax on people that probably can't even afford to go to the Arco Arena, a lot of them.
I can't, and I wouldn't go even if I could.
Alice, I am delighted that you called. Thank you for doing it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. Let's take a look out there, Sacramento. It is northbound 5, just south of 50. Blocking lanes, southbound I-5 will be affected by this accident. Traffic is going to be backed up on southbound I-5 up to Natomas. Southbound 99, slow traffic from 12th to Florin Road. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to Northgate. Eastbound Cap City Freeway, slow from East Street to Cal Expo, then again to the split. Currently it's 88 degrees in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
These are troubled times. We have to think our way out. We can't faith our way out. It's not a coincidence that so much of Bush's base are faith people, because Bush works in mysterious ways. It helps to have faith. It really does. But religion, it stops people from thinking because they think all the answers are in that one book. It impedes progress. It justifies crazy people. Flying planes into a building was a faith-based initiative. Matters of otherwise common sense become points of debate. Like gay marriage, would we even be having this discussion about whether gay people can marry except for religion? Of course the Catholic Church doesn't want gay men to marry. Half the priesthood would walk out the door the first day and marry the UPS driver.
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. Simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get. That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get. Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com. Check it out today. Licensed by the DOC.
Live from Cache Creek Casino Resort on Friday, June 9th, is Showdown at Cache Creek 2, the 8 action-packed mixed martial arts matches, which include 3-time UFC champion and UFC Hall of Famer Dan the Beast Severin versus Brian Pardo in the main event. Other matches will include Kengo Ura, Philip Wyman from Ken Shamrock's Lion's Den, Shannon Rich, Torres Kabob, and others. Visit CacheCreek.com for tickets and information.
fact that somebody like Rush Limbaugh, who has made a career preaching that anybody who does drugs has got to go right to jail, do not pass go, no questions asked, right to jail, gets caught doing 30 OxyContin a day. 30 OxyContin? Do you have any idea how high that is? I don't, and I've been pretty high. But, wow. This guy is putting up Elvis numbers, ladies and gentlemen. But how does he get away with it? They say, well, he's on medication. Oh, see, that's not drugs. You know what, pal? We all got our medication, don't we? They can have an ad on TV that said, ask your doctor if Jack Daniels is right for you. And it would not be out of place thematically.
Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
6:25 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about many things. We are talking about cultural warriors. We're talking about a legal group that is coming to the fore in favor of Christian superiority in the courts and trying to decide cases that have implications for public property and schools and so on. All in the service of creating a kind of superiority of Christianity in terms of religion. The truth of the matter is that what is so brilliant about our system is that all religions are possible. It doesn't matter how dopey it is, from Scientology to actual substantive religions. You can believe in whatever you want to believe in, and no religion should trump another religion. Anything you want to believe in, that's fine. That's what makes this country work as well as it does. And Europeans, Italians often marvel at the diversity of this. Just think about it. Go to any given neighborhood and the diversity of people who live in that neighborhood, the diversity of ethnicities and so on. And I think that's one of the reasons for our great brilliance as a country and our great success as a country. We're also talking about the Arco Arena. And I just got an email from one of you, which I'll share in a moment. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It looks like it lives again. And a bunch of supporters, hat in hand, are going to the Aloof Maloofs in Vegas to try to get it going in time to appear on the November ballot. I do not want to spend one penny, not one fraction of a penny, in sales tax increases to support the stadium. If people want a stadium, fine. Let them use public private monies. Brian in Rancho Cordova. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. I'm a libertarian, so I, have about half of the views that you do. And you were talking about the arena and the concept of the free market enters into play. But I was doing some thinking about this the other day, and the free market doesn't work whenever it is perverted. And in the case of the Arco Arena, that's a perversion of the free market. And that's why you have these sports stars, part of why they have the incredible salaries they have, is because taxpayers are subsidizing the arena, which causes the owners to be able to pay the higher salaries.
So should we subsidize a guy making $20 million a year?
Absolutely not.
Are you making $20 million a year, Brian?
No.
You know, isn't that funny? I'm not either.
Yeah, no.
Well, maybe we want to put ourselves on the ballot. They could be, the sales tax could subsidize us.
That's right.
Yeah. Why should it just be for guys making $20 million a year?
It shouldn't be
from people. You know,
it shouldn't be subsidies for anyone.
Let me just say, it has been brought up here, and I mentioned it earlier, but a caller just brought it up again. It is an incredibly regressive tax, if not the most close to it. And people, it falls disproportionately on people who can least afford it.
Well, it would even be regressive if it only taxed the very rich, because that would scare off the very rich who provide a lot of jobs in the community.
Well, I thank you for the call, I don't want to see one penny of sales tax to go for it. Brian, thanks. 349-1320. Steve in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. I got I got a push pull yesterday. They called it my house. I call them push pulls because they try and push you in a certain direction.
Well, that's what that is what they're called. And the best example was the one, the push pull on John McCain. You know that story, don't you?
Yes.
Where he adopted a child from a Bangladesh orphanage, a dark-skinned child, and so they called Grove's people, Bush's people, called when they were running in the primary in South Carolina and said, "And what? How do you feel about the McCain's African-American child that he had with a black with a black whore, I think, or a black woman, or something like that?"
Yeah, that's one of the sleaziest. But this one was on Arco Arena, actually. And they were asking me all different types of stuff, but the way that they were slanting it, they were saying, if you had a half a cent sales tax, would you vote for that if 60% of it was for improving our highways and mass transit and the other 40 was? And I said, nope. And they kept going.
All right, now, wait a minute. What were the...
asking my age, what party I'm from, whether if I'm Caucasian or whatever. And it was pretty interesting, though. But boy, the way that they had worded was that they were actually trying to get, you know, people to say yes no matter what.
No. I think what they were doing, if I understand you correctly, they were asking you, would you go for it if it was what, 60% for highways but 40% for the stadium?
Yeah.
And then what did they ask you?
Oh, then they asked, well. When I said no, then she went on. She goes, well, if this would really improve the stadium, or would you just go for regular improvements on the stadium? And I said, no. I go, I'll go for a half a cent tax, but only for mass transit.
Wait a minute. See, she wanted to know. I'm guessing that you were, what they were trying to find out, and maybe I'm not correct on this, so those of you who are in this kind of work, you could set me straight. I think what they were trying to find out is what combination would work. In other words, what combination were the most people's? If you say, okay, 60% will go for improved medical care, free medical insurance. I mean, pick anything out of a hat. Better schools, better hospitals, better libraries, and 40% goes to improve. What combination would they succeed in devising in order to sell it to the voters? That's what they were trying to find out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right on that. Because they just tried everything, and anything with the, they've got enough money to finance improvements.
What were some of the combinations besides a 60% for highways? What else?
Then a 60% for highways. Then they did a brand new, they also tried this one. She also said this one thing. She says, are you willing to give up an arena and possibly have the Kings move away if it's not done? And then, so they took that angle, too. Are you willing to lose forever and so on and so forth?
So what did you say?
I said, I could care less. I go, they got enough money to... They got enough money to build five new ones. What do they want money from us for? So,
let them tap their rich friends and investment bankers and people who are getting richer and richer, because in this country the rich are getting way richer. Let them get the money from private sources. If that's what they all want to do and the city fathers and mothers want to do that, fine, be my guest. But
well,
I think I don't want to pay one penny, and I don't know too many people who do.
And the way I look at it, we got people pushing shopping carts around this town. We've got transit problems that are just crazy. And they want to put a ball through a hoop. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
And these are a bunch of guys making $20 million bucks a piece that we're supposed to subsidize. I don't think so, Steve. Maybe they could. Oh, you know what? Let's get it on the ballot that they could subsidize us. I think we're doing a little more good here at AM 1320 for the community than the Kings are, and nobody's subsidizing us. I think I got to put myself on that ballot, Steve. Thank
that
you.
Sounds like a great idea.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. And yes, I'm going to start polling you guys in a very informal way. What are your thoughts about that? You know, you listen to Ina Live. What did you hear today? What you heard is, listen to this. Isn't it interesting how people weigh in on things? And we're picking up all the juicy news, which is that they're doing polling on it, and they're trying to determine just what combination they can sell to the voters. That's number one. They don't have any real ideas. They're just looking for the magic bullet that they can sell to us. You know, it's like getting our vote, strip mining us for our vote, and then we never hear from them again. And then we got to pay $20 for a hot dog. And then, you had somebody calling in to tell us what was going on at the Martin Luther King branch of the library, where the Maloofs, for a measly $15,000, which for them isn't even bus fare, bring in some computers, and not even the best kind of computers, and they managed to hijack a whole section of the library, calling it the Maloof, Martin bigger letters than Martin Luther King for the kids, like it has some program, but it's no program. It's just that they paid the minimum, $15,000, to corral the space. I just think it stinks. And you wouldn't know that unless you listen to Enid Live. All this stuff is coming out. This is our confessional here. It's the Neighborhood Confessional, the flea market of ideas. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. Southbound 99, slow traffic at 12th to Florin Road. Eastbound 80, slow traffic from downtown to North Gate. And the eastbound Cap City Freeway, slow from East Street to Cal Expo. Then again at the split. Currently it's 88 degrees in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The odds of you being killed by a terrorist are practically zero. So I say relax and enjoy the show. You have to be a realist. You have to be realistic about terrorism. Certain groups of people, certain groups, Muslim fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, Jewish fundamentalists, and just plain guys from Montana, are going to continue to make life in this country very interesting for a long, long time. That's the reality. Angry men in combat fatigues talking to God on a two-way radio and muttering incoherent slogans about freedom are eventually going to provide us with a great deal of entertainment, especially after your stupid economy collapses all around you and the terrorists come out of the woodwork. You'll have anthrax in the water supply and sarin gas in your air conditioners. There'll be chemical and biological suitcase bombs in every city. And I say, enjoy it. Relax. Enjoy the show. Take a chance. Put a little fun in your life.
You know something? There's nothing wrong with a culture where everyone has a different idea of what's humorous. The last time I can remember an entire nation being on the same page, it was Germany in the late 30s, and it didn't really turn out that funny. Remember, in its time and place, what Hitler said was considered politically correct. And it's that blind adherence to what is situationally palatable that is truly dangerous. We should question it all, poke fun at it all, sip on it all, rail against it all, and most importantly, for Christ's sake, laugh at it all. Because the only thing separating Holy Writ from complete visual is your perspective. It's your only weapon. Keep the safety off. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember that at the end of the day, this is just an ant farm with beepers, and it takes zero politically correct society to screw in a light bulb because they are perpetually in the dark. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong.
What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
6:39 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. And Monday is usually, you know, more coronaries happen on Monday. Well, we're all practically getting one at the prospect of the ARCO Arena finally being resurrected. And I got this email from Gary. He says, I think all the very rich, he said, athletic supporters in this country should donate the money they saved through Bush's tax cuts to the poverty-stricken Maloofs in order to build a downtown arena, which won't do anything in terms of making downtown boom. What we need is for some of these people to give us some of their millions to support a good symphony orchestra that at present can hardly get from payday to payday. The big rich guys, Black to expand their sports empires is another crock. So anyway, corporate welfare. corporate welfare. You want to pay sales tax, the most regressive tax, falling disproportionately on the poorest Americans, the very people who cannot afford to go to the Arco Arena, to go see a Kings game. We want to support that? Forget it. You want to have an arena in Sacramento? Great. Then get private monies to back it. There's plenty of money in this town, and if it's that important to the welfare of Sacramento, enough people can get it together for this to happen. But for our city fathers and mothers to go hat in hand to the Aloof Maloofs in Vegas, give me a break. It's embarrassing, I think. And I think it's really Bush League. 349-1320. And it's real Bush League to pretend that if we have an arena, we will be a world-class town. It hasn't happened to any town yet, but that's always the line they use. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. If they want to take the Kings and send them on the road forever to someplace else, be my guest. Greg in El Dorado Hills. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Oh, hello. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I had called in a few weeks ago to the show, well, maybe about a month ago to the show, and I made a comment that I think that you were talking about something that the Republicans had done, and you were saying that, in any event, basically, I think, and I made a comment that said that basically, that I was saying that basically, you know, it's interesting that you always, Democrats always say how, you know, Republican talk radio has hijacked people and it's confusing people and this, that, and the other, and I said that as a Democrat I'm sort of becoming fed up with that, with all this argument to this effect, and that, you know, it's just sort of pushing me from the party because, and once again, you know, you did the same thing again today.
I don't understand the point you're making, so clarify it.
Well, once again, every day whenever I listen to you, you say the same thing. You say that the Republicans are what's the word I'm looking for? Confusing the American people, and that they're just they're blowing smoke in our faces, and they're lying, and this, that, and the other. And yet, you know, instead of spending time talking about substantive issues to try to win voters back, it seems like the only thing that people in the Democrat Party and on the left do is just complain and complain and complain.
Have you not? Are you? You must be a Republican.
No, I've never voted for a Republican candidate in my entire life.
Well, how much of the show do you hear? Because we do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and we handle all kinds of issues, substantive. Things that are kind of fun to talk about, things that are very substantive. I mean, at what point, let me just ask you a question. At what point did you pick up the show today?
I guess about an hour and 45 minutes ago.
All right, so did you hear Jeffrey Nunberg and the discussion of the linguistics and the language and how Republicans have created a narrative? Did you hear any of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. You're saying that we're not substantive enough for you.
No. All I'm saying is you're responding to things that the Republicans do. They create their own language. They frame issues the way that they want to. You respond to them by saying that Karl Rove is a bad guy and he's tricking us. Instead of saying, well, let's frame some issues in the way that we want to. Let's talk about things, you know, that matter to us. Let's talk about things that we can win on for sure. Let's talk about issues that are...
All right, Greg. Well, that's fair. So give me an issue that if you were running the show, you would be talking about and framing in a particular way.
Well, something you just talked about a few minutes ago. So one of your callers was saying that there's a lot of people in Sacramento pushing shopping carts around, and you think that that wasting money on an arena is a bad choice to do with money. Fine. Talk about the state of... social welfare in the city of Sacramento, what the city council is doing about it, what people can do to change things that are going on in Sacramento, what people can do to change things here at home, because, you know what, arguing about what George Bush does and what the Republicans do and even what Democrats do in Congress isn't really going to change people the way people vote. If you want to change the way people vote, you have to affect change here locally first, not far away. You don't change things bottom down, top down, you change them bottom up.
Well, I'm happy for you. Thank you very much for the feedback. I'm happy to have it. And when there are issues that you feel as strongly about as you do on the homeless issue in Sacramento here, all the people pushing shopping carts or any of the other issues, please feel free to email me and we'll go into those. We do a lot on our own and we are always happy to have suggestions from the audience. So anytime you come upon an issue that you think has been neglected or that we have not focused on, because there are many, many, many things, many, many topics competing for our attention on any given day. So if there's something that you want to hear more about and a way for us to tackle it and roll up our sleeves and really get to work on it, I'm happy to have that stuff.
You're missing the point. See, that's not, to simply talk about it means nothing. if you really want to affect change, if you want to get people to vote in a different direction, you have to tell them what to do. You have to get people on the show who are already involved in the community, who do things with these populations, and then you have to say, if you want to help these people, here is how you do it. Here is what they are trying to do. And then you lead people towards that goal, and then they will begin to become more involved, and then you can actually see people perhaps changing the way they vote. And if they don't change the way they vote, at the very worst, things might get better for poor folks in Sacramento.
Well, Greg, I don't think that's a bad idea. And again, if there are people that you want to see on the show that we haven't thought to contact, people who can tell us how we can roll up our sleeves, that's been the hardest part, particularly in terms of the upcoming elections. It's been very hard in a disengaged society to figure out how people can get themselves engaged, how people can begin to dip a toe in the water, and how they can become personally involved in an issue. So if you have something that you want to add, any topic, any kind of guest, if you have ideas about how we can all roll up our sleeves to do stuff, I'm happy to have that.
But once again, that's not the point. People aren't disengaged. People end up voting, but they end up voting for people who you might not agree with. People end up voting for who you might feel are the wrong candidate. People end up voting against their own interests. Why? Because at the end of the day, the Democratic Party and the Democratic response to right wing talk radio, which is Air America, and I guess AM 1320 or whatever, you're not doing a good job of explaining to people why they should vote a different way. There's two issues at work here. One,
Greg, you know I have given you about four opportunities, and every time you tell me I'm not doing a good enough job. So if I'm not doing a good enough job, help me do a better job. Email me with stuff that you think we ought to be talking about, with guests and with ideas for how to roll up our sleeves. But to call me up and say you're not doing a good job, and when I say to you, how can we do a better job, which is exactly what you're asking of me, you aren't telling people how to do a better job, Ian. And when I ask you, how can we do a better job, you come back with more criticism. So if you have some ideas for how we here at AM 1320 and Enid Live can do a better job, I am happy to hear them, because I have said it repeatedly. If flaws were money, I would be a rich woman. So anything that you I will take your criticisms and your suggestions, Greg, very seriously. So you got some topics you think we ought to deal with, and if you have guests, and if you have suggestions for how we can actively get involved, I am happy to have them. 349-1320, and let's head over to Marty in Sacramento. Marty, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I think it would be instructive to simplify this arena issue just by looking at the great seal of the city of Sacramento. And on that seal, does it say that is it the responsibility of the city of Sacramento to provide for the health, safety, education, welfare, and entertainment of its people?
Does it say that? Where's that entered? Well, I'm only going to point to the Constitution, which provides for the pursuit of happiness, although everybody wants to sue for the attainment of it. So I don't know. Maybe that's what they're going to throw into the mix to get us to try and vote for it in the fall. If my listeners are any measure, and I don't know if they are, I hope it doesn't make it. We're getting more no's than yes's here, Marty, and I thank you for the call. 349-1320 and 866-626-1320. You may want to address what Greg had to say and his criticisms, and I'm happy to have your thoughts about it, because we are happy to have the feedback here on Enid Live. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Antonio Munez.
Thank you so much, Enid. It's looking pretty good out there. There's nothing to worry about. Most of the roadways are clear. You should have a safe trip home. Just feel free to be nice to the drivers around you. It's currently 88 degrees here in Sacramento. This is Antonio Munez on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
We go right to...
Ladies and gentlemen, from New York City, Kate Clinton!
Oh my goodness, so much is happening. I guess the only people that have to be really, really happy about all this news about a war is the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, they got to be happy, because they're off the front page of the paper for the first time in a long time. Woo! Woo! And I am a recovering Catholic. Some of you are here tonight, yes? so I've been following this story. I went to 16 years of Catholic education. I'm lucky I'm alive. I went to Our Lady of Psychological Warfare. I've always felt that if women have to be in the military, they should only be lesbians. Because we would never get around to having a war. Right? Because we'd have to have some meetings. A war in October? What about the softball banquet?
Hey, you streaming listeners, open your media player and click on the link to NoHaggleMortgage.com right now, and you can save thousands on your mortgage loan. It's simple, easy, and takes less than 30 seconds. For the first time, homeowners can now have direct access to the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
That's right, the same rates that mortgage brokers get.
Three things allow NoHaggleMortgage.com to get the lowest mortgage rates in the industry. One, no commissions to pay to loan officers. Two, most of the work is done over the internet, saving you a lot of money. Three, no haggling. Click on the link now, then click on Quick Quote to find out what rate you can get. Get your money faster and save thousands. No gimmicks, no middleman, no haggling. Just simple, fast, friendly, low-rate mortgage loans. Skip the loan officer. Go direct to NoHaggleMortgage.com. You're already online. Take 30 seconds and find out for yourself. Or go to NoHaggleMortgage.com today. Licensed by the DOC.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, and we're talking about many things. We're talking about the ARCO Arena. I just got an email from one of you. We're talking about, Greg's comment was he wants for us here at AM 1320, and maybe the rest of you, a lot of you do as well, and I'd like to, if you want to weigh in on it, please feel free to, but he thinks we ought to be talking more about other substantive issues than the substantive issues that we discuss, and that he wants us to provide a way for all of you, all of us involved in AM 1320 to, you know, roll up our sleeves. How can we affect change, basically? Now, I think it's something we have to sort of put our heads together on because it's not, there's no manual for it. And it begins in different ways for different people. It might begin on getting involved in the homeless issue. It might begin on getting involved in a neighborhood issue, something going on in the neighborhood for you. That could get you involved in the process. It could be that you get involved in somebody's campaign. Could be that you are so incensed about the possibility of this ARCO Arena business finding itself on the free, on the ballot, that you will get involved with that. So I don't know if there's a one size fits all, but I would certainly love to have your thoughts about it. Greg was certainly passionate on how he felt. I just got this from Art. In Folsom, he said, listening online, could you do some research and see if the final $39 million was ever repaid from the last King's bailout a few years ago? Last time I heard, it was still outstanding. Well, what we're hearing from callers is that it's outstanding, but if anybody knows for certain, let me know. Also, when this sham came up a few months ago, I called my county supervisor's office and told him not only no, but hell no, when the Maloofs are spending over $300 million to expand their Palms Resort in Las Vegas, I wonder how much the taxpayers of Las Vegas are helping to build that. Well, presumably they are getting investment money, or they're going to banks for it, or who knows where you go for $300 million, you go somewhere for it. But really, to charge, what is the plus of having a new arena? So they're going to scare us with, well, you know, give us a new arena. It's 18 years old. That's like 57 million years in arena years. Oh, are we replacing schools that are 18 years old? We're not. Are we replacing libraries that are 18 years old? We're not. Well, what about hospitals that are 18 years old? 349-1320 and 866-626-1320. Joey in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Joey.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I got an idea for you. What about just taking any charitable organization? I mean, pick one out of the Yellow Pages and call them on the radio. Call them on the phone. Talk to them on the radio. What can they? And ask them how can they get help or how can people help them out?
Well, I think what they're going to say is write a check or sign up.
That's not true. I used to have a business downtown.
Uh-huh.
And I used to have a canned food drive every year. I had live music free, and all you had to do was bring a can of food.
Okay.
Was
that for the food bank?
That was for the Sacramento Food Bank, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, there's loaves and fishes. They're in trouble. They could be mentioned on the air several times every day, and they always need help. They're always looking for volunteers to help out. The SPCA downtown, they have a thrift store. You can work there for free. I mean, you work there for free, but basically you're helping out the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There's lots of organizations. All they have to be done is bring it to the forefront of people's attention.
Well, okay, I'm happy to do that. And anybody who requires volunteers, let us know, and we'll kind of do a little bit of a volunteer bank. But it doesn't take a lot of, you know, if you want to volunteer, there are volunteer banks, and you can call up the charity of your interest, whether it's Loaves and Fishes right. or whether it's the SPCA, although there should be a Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Humans, but we don't have that one yet. And we're not going to have it with this administration.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay.
All I'm saying is that if you bring people's attention to, I mean,
But I think what Greg was talking about was affecting political change. I think that's what he was talking about.
Oh, and I understand that, but what I'm getting at is why not a candidate? Speak to a candidate this week.
Well, we did. If you were listening, Charlie Brown called in.
Actually, I wasn't listening.
He called in earlier to say that he got General Wesley Clark's endorsement.
That's great.
Yeah, Joey, we're going to have to leave it there. I thank you very much for the call, and thank you for the suggestion. It's a good way for people to start to get involved. 349-1320, 866-620-6320. Charles in Citrus Heights, hi. You're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Yeah, who cares about the schools? Stadium's better.
What, the stadium's better?
All right.
Forget the schools.
Right.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, thank you very much, Charles, for the call. I trust he was just kidding. Well, we've been talking about lots of different things. We've been talking about how you can get involved in the community. We've been talking about the ARCO Arena, and do you want to pay even a fraction of a... it's a regressive sales tax for people who are very rich, and you have to have a certain amount of dough to go to the things that are at the arena. And it's 18 years old, which I guess in arena years, is about 5,000 years old. So I guess we need a new one, huh? Are we replacing schools every 18 years? Are we replacing libraries, hospitals every 18 years? Did you replace your home every 18 years? No? Oh, well, you... Oh, I don't... Oh,